reflections of the fears I know I've left behind. I step out of the ordinary. I can feel my soul ascending. I'm on my way, can't stop.
Out of my 15 cents. One for the money, two for the sex, three and a half hours later. freaky thing I'm gonna show ya.
Warning. The following program contains subject matter that portrays gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgendered people as first-class citizens, deserving of an equal share of the American dream. Topics like this are known to piss off televangelists, backwater preachers, some talk show hosts, blue-haired biddies, several members of Congress, and other socially unacceptable outcasts like radical right-wing nut jobs. Listener discretion is strongly advised.
Have tuned into After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude, a continuing tradition here on KPFT 90.1 FM. The crew of After Hours is ready to bring you news, interviews, discussions, and music geared to the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender community and our allies. We are a diverse group here, but we all have one thing in common. We are out of the closet and urge everyone to come out of his or her closet as well. That means recognizing who you are, standing up for yourself and your rights, and being proud of who you are. We understand that this might not be possible due to age, job, or frame of mind, but remember, we are here especially for you. So kick back and relax and get ready for this week's edition of After Hours.
Hello, Houston, Galveston, and the world. No, screw that button.
Yeah, there you go.
The hell?
16.
Soft?
16.
Is take two. Hello, everyone. This is the...
You just did
July.
That.
July 16th edition of After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude. My name is Chris Arison. I'll be your co-executive producer for this evening.
And I'm Jimmy Carper. I'm the longest-running co-executive producer of this show.
And I'm Wes Laverne. I'm the butch one.
What?
The bitch one?
The butch one.
Oh. Well, he was butch tonight, putting up shelves in my house.
I was playing with power tools.
Yes, saws and circular saws and electric drill. No.
Power drills.
Power drills.
Yeah.
You were handling Jimmy's lumber?
Yes.
Yes. He certainly was. He was taking care of my wood.
Yes, I was hanging shelves and putting a desk together.
Yeah,
today.
Yeah.
Woo! And if I don't see the underside of another shelf, it'll be too soon.
While the landscapers were finishing up in the backyard.
Yeah.
But and so you were out back watching the landscapers?
I was back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. I am exhausted.
Yeah.
So, my house is now complete.
Now if we can just get it decorated.
Now if I can just get through the 300 boxes.
Well, I've got his office about 90% functional now.
Actually, it's less than 300 boxes now. I've been working all week. So. In fact, you've got a carload of boxes.
Yes,
for
I know.
Your next move.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Well, like I said, I've got his office 90% functional now, so he should be able to start putting books away now.
Yeah.
I'm just thinking of, my mind's going through the head of the screenplay for the next version of 300.
Different 300.
Oh, goodness gracious. So how's everybody's week?
That's been my week.
That's been your week?
Yes, it has.
Mm.
Yeah,
Friday I started my 13 days of hell.
What?
The guy I used to share an office with, mm-hmm, in my old position, he went on vacation yesterday.
Oh, and so you're doing two jobs.
I'm doing his job and my job.
Ouch.
For the next 13 days.
Ouch. Ouch.
Well, 12 more. Well, 11 more now.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's not going to be fun.
No.
Yeah.
So, no. So now it's only 275 boxes?
Something like that.
Yeah.
That's all.
Yeah.
Yep.
So. And Chris?
My plans were all screwed up this weekend.
Oh?
Yeah, I was supposed to take my niece down to see Willy Wonka Jr.
Oh, yeah.
Well, she got grounded.
Oops.
Uh-oh.
And they were going to be coming to do some remodeling work in my apartment.
Mm-hmm.
Fix the water damage from Ike.
Well.
I'm the one who's postponed it. You know, we thought we fixed it. I was waiting for a really good rainstorm to come. And since we're not getting any rain, I figured I'd just go ahead and do
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
Well, they were also going to be validating my homosexuality. And
I beg your pardon.
Well, that wall's now been painted an accent color.
Pink.
No, no. But it's an accent wall. It's green.
Oh.
So I've got track light. They've put in track lighting and given me an accent wall.
I see.
He's moved up on the homo ladder.
That's pretty queer.
Yeah, so the next step is trying to figure out a way to explain them why I need the heavy-duty industrial hooks in my ceiling. I've explained to them that I'm going to be hanging about 500 pounds of spider plants.
Oh.
See if that works.
I don't think they're going to go for that.
No.
Well, I got to talk to them somehow because you know if I use the big enough screws there, they're going to fall. I've got an apartment above me, so you know.
Yeah.
She'll step on the screw heads.
I figured
since I was going to get out of the apartment during then, I would go and get my car washed and the oil changed.
Mm-hmm.
So they showed up, and it was a fantasy come true. Saturday morning. Kind of a cute Hispanic boy comes into my apartment, hits his knees, and starts painting.
Well, it was all good until he said painting.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, but so I figured I'd go get my car washed, mm-hmm. go downstairs. It's raining.
Yes. Yes.
Oh. So, that must have been about 11 o'clock.
Yeah, so I ended up going down to a car wash and got my oil changed and got some other things taken care of. So I spent $200 at the car wash.
Oh, my God.
And didn't get my car washed.
They do a lot of things at that car wash, don't they?
Yeah. The transmission fluid needed to be replaced, mm-hmm. and the power steering fluid, so.
Oh.
Like I said, I spent
$200?
Spent $200 and didn't get washed.
Hmm.
So.
And he had a
key. For $200, they should have thrown in a free wash.
Well, it would be, but because it was raining, the car wash part
did
was
they give
closed.
You a rain check?
I got a rain check.
Oh.
Okay. But like I said, I drove.
A real rain check.
Yeah.
So
he didn't get his car washed, and he had a cute boy on his knees, but didn't get anything out of that either.
Well,
the first, when I left there in the morning, he was there with his mother.
Oh.
And then when they came back later in the afternoon after the wall dried to finish painting, it was his sister with him.
Oh, jeez.
They know you, huh?
Well, I think it was mainly because of the fact that I don't think he spoke English.
Ah.
I mean, I could have told him I do have a Spanish dictionary, but, you know, it's got phrases of...
Pinga...
Oh, worse than that. Like, if you don't remove the handcuffs, I'm calling the police.
Oh.
Well, then.
It's a fun little Spanish
book. I see.
There's a whole section called I Want to Blank Your Blank. And they got a list of column for A and a column A and column B. And you pick the words you want to put in there in Spanish.
Did you get this at Hollywood Superstore?
No. I got that book at Crossroads.
Ah. You've had it that long.
Yes.
Wow.
Your Spanish should be better than it is, then.
I haven't had a good Spanish matriculation since last year, so.
Well.
Nah.
I see. Okay. Okay.
Oh.
Well,
he preferred my tongue better than using his native tongue. So.
Oh, wow.
Due to my snafu, we do not have very many events.
Yeah, he messed up.
I put the folder on the roof of my car as I was putting the bags of CDs in it, and
yeah.
So
if anybody out on Montrose happens to see a green folder, can you drop it by KPFT?
Yes, please. Or on Dora Street.
Yeah,
Dora Bissonette.
Yes,
Montrose.
Yeah,
yeah, somewhere along in there.
Yeah.
Probably closer towards home.
It's probably in front of the house.
Yeah. I think it's on Dora, or Judy would have seen it when she left.
But, by the way, this just in.
Yes.
I got a little text message from Daddy Lloyd Powell earlier before the show. And
he does listen to orders.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Whoa.
We now have a new boy of Montrose for 2011, and it is Christopher Barr.
What do you know? That boy gets around.
So congratulations, Christopher.
Yes.
So.
Yes, indeed.
So
that's a busy guy. He's a member of Arisa's.
Yeah. The first family of Montrose is just about complete because...
I think it's August the 14th. They have the girl of Montrose.
Yes.
Yeah. Saturday, August 6th from 8 to 11 p.m. 6th. At George Country Sports Bar. It will be the Girl of Montrose contest.
Yes.
Do you have what it takes to be a part of the first family of Montrose? Come compete to win for the title of Girl of Montrose. For this warning, it is G-I-R-L. It's the traditional spelling. No U, no Z.
No, they want a female.
Yep. And I think they want a real one, too.
Yeah. Born that way. Well, maybe not born that way.
Yeah. And this, just so everybody knows, this is the first Girl of Montrose contest.
Yes, they've never had it before, ever. So all you leather women out there.
Let's see, the social begins at 8, contest begins at 9. For more information, go to firstfamilyofmontrose.org.
You're kidding me.
That's, yep.
Wow. This is an Eric Stutes thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Actually, I think it's Eric and... name escapes me now.
Is it a Gill thing?
Because
he's been running around with the Gil name here lately.
I can't click on the getting. Oh wait, here we go.
Daddy of Montrose. Who usually does that one?
Say
Don Gill.
Yeah, Don Gill. Yeah, Don Gill production. Yeah.
Eric Stutes is the director, benefiting the PWA Holiday Charities Working Account.
It's a Don Gill Productions.
Yeah. That was the name I was trying to remember. Mm-hmm.
Application available at George Bar or online at firstfamilyofmontrose.org.
So. But you know. That's the PWA group, and that's what the PWA campout is umbrellaed under.
Yeah.
So that's a good organization to give money to.
I think it's about time we had a Girl of Montrose.
Yes.
We've had the Mother of Montrose, Daddy of Montrose.
I don't know why we haven't thought
of the Boy of Montrose.
I don't know why somebody didn't think of that sooner.
I don't know. But I think it's great that they finally decided to do that. So.
Yeah. Well, we've had women as Daddy of Montrose.
We have.
Yeah.
Yes. Shameless.
And, of course, we've had plenty of guys being the Mom of Montrose.
Oh, yes. Mostly. What do you mean?
And some of them have been kind of scary looking, too.
Oh, yes, Jackie Danielle.
But I think that's the way they wanted to do it anyway, so more power to them.
There you go.
So let's see. If I'm correct, right now we're looking at Mama Montrose is Carrie Christopher.
Yes.
But I think she's doing it under her rename, isn't she?
I don't know.
I can't remember.
I don't know.
And, of course, then we got Daddy of Montrose, Falcon Fur.
Mm-hmm.
And now the Boy of Montrose, Christopher Barr. So who's going to be the Girl of Montrose?
Yeah.
We want to be able to announce that. So
that's August 6th. That's coming up.
Yeah. A couple weeks away.
So get your applications in.
So what else we got, Chris?
Coming up tomorrow on Sunday.
Sunday.
Should have waited half a second more.
Okay.
Get the soda can to your mouth. You're able to pull back in time. It is Louis Foreplay.
From
2 to 5 p.m. over at the Ripcord.
Yeah.
This is where we'll be doing the pin and poster contest. There will be...
the unveiling, actually.
The unveiling of the pin and poster contest. There will be a couple of skits to get you in the mood for this show of shows. A couple of reception contests as well.
Mm-hmm.
And all the other usual fun that we have at this event.
Yeah.
So come to us at the Ripcord, and you'll see, like I said, the pin and poster. I've been spray gluing onto foam core this past week.
Ooh.
Yeah. And
do you guys have pins? After hours pins?
I've got some in my bag.
Yeah, okay. You, Chris?
I got some somewhere around
okay.
here.
But, yeah.
I was going to definitely need them because, well, I was hoping to go to San Antonio, but yeah. I'm not sure if that's going to happen.
Yeah, as far as the skits and the receptions go, remember, they are being judged.
Yes.
They are being judged in two different ways, by donations, mm-hmm. For the tips and stuff like that. So, both on the receptions and the skits. And then there will also actually be an actual judging, where I think on the skits, it's going to be, members of the audience are going to be doing the judging.
Mm-hmm.
From what
it's secret judges, isn't it?
I believe so.
Yeah.
And I think, Lloyd is actually picking the people that are going to do those judgings.
Oh.
So, come on out.
I haven't been picked.
Yeah. Come on out and show us what you got.
Oh.
And let's root everybody on. And
now, that's a real Louis.
Yeah. Well, it is Louis Foreplay. So.
It is Louis Foreplay. I like that.
Following that, a little get-together by just a group of individuals. Gay Sundays at the Spaghetti Western Italian Cafe.
I saw that tonight and printed it up to bring it in.
Yeah, I saw something about that earlier.
Yeah.
We're at the Spaghetti Western Italian Cafe, 1608 Shepherd, on... someone's stealing your line here. It says Sunday.
That would be Christopher Prado.
Go figure.
Why is my screen looking covered in glitter?
Did you see his?
I told you.
Did you see his box that he's using for donations for Mr. Mint Julep?
No.
Oh my God.
What is it?
Let me find it on my phone. I'll show you.
It's total glitter.
Oh no. There's no glitter at all on that sucker.
What?
This is a new, fabulous new tradition for Houston's gay community. It's a fun event where we want to come back week after week. If you can't make it this week, then make plans for next Sunday. It's definitely a fun time and a great chance to meet new friends and socialize with others.
Yeah, it's like Cafe Adobe on Mondays.
So, got that. Eresus Game Night on Thursday, July 21st over at George Country Sports Bar from 5 p.m. to 11 p.m.
They don't say what kind of games, though. I think it's probably like darts and... and cards.
And pool and cards.
Yeah.
I think they do bingo in there, too.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
They just talk about they're going to sling weenies.
Oh.
Sling a weenie, huh?
Well, hot dogs and hamburgers. It is a direct benefit for Camp Hope.
No kidding. Boy, that's worthy of going to and supporting.
Stage the Rink is presenting Rent. Starting next week, productions are Friday and Saturdays at 8 p.m., Sundays at 3 p.m.
Oh, so the snafu you were talking about is for next week.
Yes.
Ah.
Originally, we were supposed to have Stage Door this week and Theater Suburbia next week.
Uh-huh.
And fortunately, I double-checked with them, and they're actually planning on coming here next week, which is the first week of their production.
Yes, And exactly in this same opening night for, yeah,
not a lick of glitter on that thing.
Wow,
Jimmy is now studying a picture of Prado's box. I would have thought the slot was bigger.
Oh. That's beautiful.
But it's so Christopher Prado.
Yeah, of course, of course.
So for more information on their production, you can either tune in next week or you can go to their website, stagedoorinc.com.
That's right. Same thing with Theater Suburbia, with their melodrama.
And yeah, we'll have them on first next week and then Stage Door and then
Gigi.
The Montrose Corner dedicated to anti-violence will be happening on Thursday, July 28th from 8 p.m. to 9 p.m. at the 1000 block of California Street, one block from Bobby Yeaga's. We've talked about this a couple of times. This is dedicated to the Aaron Schoenhauer Foundation and Paul Broussard.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's got way too much time on his hands.
Yes.
Who?
Christopher Prado.
To do all of that.
If you could see all the little...
It's covered in glass cabochons. Of various hues.
And sizes.
Yes.
Well, speaking of Christopher Prado, we invite you on Friday, July 29th at 9 p.m. to the Brazos River Bottom for a decade birthday show. Come help celebrate his partner Jim Crawford's 50th birthday.
No kidding!
Jim, you should all come out and enjoy a wonderful night. As he's asked that you, if you're going to perform, do a song from the decade you were born in.
Oh, God.
So Jimmy will be performing to Beethoven.
I thought he was going to be playing on Sticks and Stones.
It'll be a festive night to hear music from years gone by. It's an Eresus Court event open to all performers. It's raising money for the usual suspects, Lesbian Health Initiative, Montrose Counseling Center, and 25% Chaos.
Mm-hmm.
On that, the annual tent revival show by the Eresus on Sunday, July 31st from 7 to 10 p.m. over at the BRB. Board of Directors of Eresus are proud to present their annual gospel show. This year is being presented by Kimberly Ann O'Neill. Well, I was going way down there. August 28th, The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, the BRB, with, well, that's going to be a family event there. We've got Christopher Barr and Falcon Fur, along with Eresus.
Mm.
We'll be doing that event. Once again, Eresus, Usual Suspects.
Mm-hmm.
And on Sunday, August 14th, Tony's Corner Pocket presents the 2011 Mr. and Miss Tony's Corner Pocket Contest.
Oh, is that coming up so soon?
Yep. This year's theme is Fantasy Island Adventures in Paradise.
My. Oh, my.
The plane!
Featuring Tony's Corner Pocket 2010 and Ricky D. Gill and Miss Tony's Corner Pocket Regina Dane.
Mm-hmm.
The categories are presentation, talent, formal wear, evening gown, and onstage question and answer.
Oh.
Applications are online. You can get it at Tony's Corner Pocket or go to tonyscornerpocketbar.com.
Hmm.
No entry fee. There is cash prizes. It's a contest benefiting the PWA Holiday Charities. How far out's that one? August 20th over at EJ's, Carrie Christopher presents Boobs, Booze, and Burlesque. The Debris sisters are at it again.
Oh, they are.
And since everyone wants to see burlesque, we've twisted it into a trashy spectacle that we are infamous for. It's a direct benefit for PWA Holiday Charities Lady Victoria Lust Camp for Campouts. Sweet Jesus, that's a long name.
Camp for Campouts.
PWA Holiday Charities Lady Victoria Lust Camp for Campout.
It's a PWA
event, yes.
Campout.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Once again, that'll be over at EJ's on Saturday, August 20th.
So we're going to see Jimmy and Drag again?
Oh, I hope not.
If you want to, one easy way that you can get events to us, you can join After Hours Facebook page, because that's where I pulled all this information off, or our invites that we have received.
Oh.
On there, that's facebook.com/AfterHoursKPFT.
So we didn't have Pennies for Pets. It's coming up August the 28th.
Oh, that's right. I don't think Russ is in.
What did I see here?
We're going to talk. We're going to see about having them actually come on here.
Oh, yes.
In a couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
On that, to talk about that. Because we'll probably talk to her on Wednesday at the HCC meeting.
Okay.
I think she's going to be there tomorrow night.
Yeah, I don't know. I've talked to Russ, and, you know, it's hard understanding Russ, you know. I think something shiny hit him out of the corner of his eye, and I kind of lost him from that.
Yeah, he's a nodder.
Especially in a bookstore.
I've never seen him in action, but yeah. I've heard he's a rival to me.
That's August 28th that they're doing that.
Yeah.
Yeah. It looks like she's going to be there tomorrow from what I'm seeing in this email.
Okay.
So.
Good. And that with that, by tomorrow, you mean the...
Sunday,
the foreplay.
Yes, over at Louis Foreplay over at the Ripcord.
Yes. What's the time on that again?
2 to 5 p.m.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah, so okay, we'll be spinning through the receptions and everything
that's
rather quickly.
Yeah. That's the events for the week, as we know them.
Yes, and like I said, Facebook.com's, let me double check, I believe it is After Hours KPFT is the direct link to us.
Yeah.
I kind of... coming up on the roundtable tonight,
yeah.
We've got Clap, Cops, Court, Carnality, Courage, Carnage, Curiosities, and the quote of the week winner, quote, "Let them measure my anus and see if it is dilated," unquote.
Oh.
You have to stick around till 4 a.m. to hear that.
Oh, my.
I can't.
I am worried about that last part.
I'm just trying to put that together.
What? Well, apparently so is he, because that's, you know.
Well.
And here, I'll even add a part there. The sentence just before that was, "I will go to the Vatican and let them measure my anus and see if it is dilated."
What?
That's going to be the end of our roundtable discussion.
It sure
tonight,
will.
So you got to stick around.
Especially if management hears it.
Okay, so is that going to be falling under a pillar tonight?
Not totally.
Okay.
We've got a couple of little ones in there. And the video of the week I put up there, because everyone seems to be on this damn Harry Potter kick.
Not me.
Well, go figure.
Considering
it just started yesterday.
I put up a video clip of Act 1, Part 1 of a very Potter musical. This is a fan-based musical play about Harry Potter.
Oh.
The weird angle apart it is the person who plays Harry Potter is now on Glee.
No kidding.
So, although I did actually prefer the other musical that he did on there that he didn't perform in, but he helped write of Me and My Dick.
Oh, hello.
Oh, I think I've seen that.
What?
I think I sent it to you.
It's a very cute play.
It's a cute coming of age story. C-O-M-E-I-N-G. Mm-hmm. Where it's basically all the characters, they talk to their private part, and it's played by another actor who's attached to them. So the main character is talking to his dick.
Hello.
And he is very interested in the pretty girl across the street, mm-hmm. who, her vagina is named Miss Cooter.
What do you... go figure.
And there's an old snatch and, you know, all these different... it's one of those things, if you've got... The whole play, it's actually a musical, is online. If you go to YouTube and search for it, you can watch the whole play in sections and just go through each part.
Oh, really?
And it is... It's funny and it's cute. It's, like I said, it's one of those coming-of-age stories and it's very irreverent.
Good.
I keep telling them downstage where I said, you guys really ought to try this one.
Mm-hmm.
It's twisted enough.
Ah, that's sweet.
But, yeah, that was some of the stuff. I threw that up there. And
okay, so what have we got tonight?
Judy?
Oh, okay, because it's the third Saturday, and we don't really have a...
We don't have a theater group. Don't have a quickie. Don't have a theater group.
Yeah, so next week we'll have Eresis, possibly. We'll have Stage Theater Suburbia, Stage for Inc., Gigi.
Wow.
Okay. And then the following week, we got absolutely nothing because we got a fifth Saturday.
Oh.
So it'll be a musical Saturday.
Yes,
well,
it will.
We're going to try and get a couple of people in.
That's a good idea.
See if we can.
Folks that don't usually come on the show.
Yeah, we got a couple people had some requests about coming in. We'll see what we can do to bring them in so we're not playing all too much music.
Oh, we can't play too much music. We play music by openly GLBT artists, and you don't hear that anywhere else. So, I never think that playing music on the show is wasting time time.
And the difference is this, if you haven't heard when we do music, is we don't play the mainstream.
No.
That's how I explain it to people. So when we play queer music, the only time you will hear Elton John is when someone's been gone for a couple of weeks.
Yeah, and then you play
The Bitch Is Back.
Okay. And
which we've done for Jimmy Sevier times.
How about Melissa Etheridge?
Old Melissa Etheridge, before she came out.
And the only time you will really hear any Melissa Etheridge is during the month of December.
Yes. Oh, yes. When we close the show with her version of...
John Lennon's
Give Peace a Chance, War Is Over.
Yes.
We very rarely play Katie Lang.
That's right.
When it comes to mainstream queer artists, we play Scissor Sisters,
mm-hmm.
Erasure,
mm-hmm.
Pansy Division, and...
We don't even play Lady Gaga.
No, we never... No. About the biggest one you're going to hear is if Jimmy picks the CD and someone has recently passed away, Sarah McLachlan.
Yeah.
That's about it.
Yeah.
And so that's the thing we do differently. We play, we open the show tonight with Heather Small from the Queer as Folk USA soundtrack, Proud.
Mm-hmm.
And then Jim Varavos, who former American Idol contestant. And I don't remember which one song.
Move.
Yeah. Oof, wrong button. There we go. Off of his album, Roller Coaster. And that's the thing is what we do is we try and give you something a little different than you're going to hear elsewhere.
Exactly. Because there's incredible music being played by queer artists. They just don't get the airtime. And it's because they're queer.
And some of them don't have the... the backers out there
mm-hmm.
who are giving them the promotion.
Yeah.
and the part that we, and you know, now we do, now I do, we have to say this, we do play some straight artists.
Oh yeah, we do, but it's usually,
it has to be queer.
Yeah, it has to be, have some sort of queer content.
Me First and the Gimme Gimmes.
Yes,
is a straight band, but when they sing Natural Woman.
Yes, you make me feel like a natural woman.
When you've got four guys singing Natural Woman, there's something about
that. It's
But we play straight people. We don't play the gay icons. We do not play Madonna. We do not play Cher.
No.
Lady Gaga.
No.
Britney Spears.
We've never played Mika.
No.
It's been a long time since we played Rufus Wainwright.
Yeah, even. Yeah.
I think we have a CD in here.
Yeah, I do.
So, that's the difference that we play here. We play a lot of, you know, we'll go old school on you some days. Romanofsky and Phillips, the Notations.
Nona Hendrix.
Nona Hendrix, yes. Oh, man.
All right, take it back.
What a voice that woman
has. I almost pulled Nona out tonight.
And Gay Adegbolola.
Zoom tight.
Yeah, exactly.
Michelle Nedicicello.
Yes.
Bless you.
Yep.
Don't forget your Irish singers.
Yeah.
Oh, and the horse you rode in on fall. He's referring to the Irish lesbian artist that we play, Horse, who actually performed live here on our show.
Yes. Yes. That was such a thrill to have her come and visit and sing live. Because in Scotland, where she's from.
So she's Irish.
Is she Irish? I thought it was Scotland.
I don't know. I have to pull the record
up. She plays with her country's symphony band, symphony orchestra. Mm. You know, she is a big deal in her country. I thought it was Scotland.
Big old lesbian, huh?
Oh, yeah. Openly.
Horse, lesbian. Man, I gotta be careful. I start putting in horse and lesbian, I'm gonna get a whole different website that I'm looking for.
Oops.
Let's go singer.
Yeah, there you go.
A singer called Horse. Oh, I apologize. She's Scottish.
That's what I thought.
Scottish.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. What does it say about her?
She's incredible.
Yeah, we've played her a few times.
Yeah, yeah. I've got. I think all of her albums.
I don't know. I know there's at least one I pull out every once in a while.
She's done seven, or at least back.
Ooh, I don't have seven.
At least as far back as 2007 when she was interviewed on AfterEllen.com.
Oh.
Singer, songwriter, Horse McDonald. Does she have a farm? I mean, I'm not widely known in the United States. She's something of a legend in the UK, especially to lesbian fans. She toured with Tina Turner.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know fans were female.
See what they're.
What?
I'm sorry, I got pain in my foot. Which is unusual because usually right now my feet are quite numb there.
Yeah.
She's been referred to as Katie Lang of. Yeah, so where's that? She's been compared to Katie Lang because she's gay, Horse said. She's a fabulous singer, but we're very, very different in terms of performance as well.
Oh, yeah.
She's also been compared to Annie Lennox, Tracy Chapman, and Tim Buckley.
What?
Well, that was a nice little twist there at the end.
Yeah.
Named all these women artists, and all of a sudden, bam, there's a guy.
She likes to think herself as a torch singer for the 90s and now sort of a Dusty Springfield.
Oh, so she's a torch song, isn't she?
She really likes that kind of stuff.
Well, at least we're not doing the Dance of the Virgins here.
No, that's not happening.
We all have to do it from memory.
I can't remember that far back.
Oh, if you go to After Elton, they've got a video on here of her.
If you go to where?
AfterEllen.com.
Yes.
They have an article on there called A Singer Called Horse.
Okay.
And they've got a video clip on there of her performing I Close My Eyes and Count to 10.
Oh.
On there. So.
Okay, so do we have any of her this week?
I got to see.
I guess we've got to stretch here.
Christmas albums? Oh.
Don't even go there. Don't even go there. They're talking about last week.
He brought two bags of music. He brings two bags of music. One larger, one smaller one. And the larger one's off Christmas music.
Yes.
Okay, I'll tell you.
Grabbed it by mistake.
While I'm looking around, I'll tell you this cute story I did at my apartment complex yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
I went down, checked things, were all set up for the remodel stuff, and I go in there talking to the apartment manager.
Yes.
And behind me in the room,
oh, Jesus,
is the assistant manager, mm-hmm. and she's working with 20-something kind of cute guy. Was there with his parents. He's getting an apartment. So if you recently moved into 5302 at an apartment complex in Northwest Houston, stop by 1202 off on the welcome wagon.
Oh, God, he went there.
He's more than just the welcome wagon.
No kidding.
On the whole damn parade float. Now, so my back was turned to them, and I started whispering to the manager. I go, I'm here. I got to talk to you about this. I got these huge rats in my apartment. They're here. They're running everywhere. She looks at me. Don't you dare say a word. Don't you dare say a word. I said, don't worry. The gunshots scared them all away. And she's like, don't you say a thing. So when the assistant manager took the guy up to see the apartment, she goes, if you would have said something, I would have hurt you. I don't know how I would have, but I would have had to hurt you.
Oh, that's funny. That's a funny story.
Oh, my.
So, let's see. The horse.
I'll have to have been a fly on the wall for that one.
Mm-hmm.
Well, like I said, I mean, concerning the fact, yeah, I mean, I think they ought to get a pretty good clue about me lately. You know, they've put up track lighting, they've put up accent wall.
Yeah, they know.
And they sent a cute boy to be on his knees in his apartment, too.
And, you know.
With his mother.
And sister.
Well, the other part is that they've commented that they love it. They love when they see my check every month because it's so colorful. It's as close as I can get to rainbow colors on it without having an actual flipping radio or rainbow on it. I don't see any.
I see.
You don't see any.
You know, that's one thing I haven't had in years.
A rainbow?
No, a checkbook.
Really?
Yeah.
How the hell do you operate?
Credit cards, money orders.
Really? He's pulling something out. What is that?
That's my bank card.
Oh, you pay your rent with your bank card?
No, I use a money order.
Really?
Mm-hmm. I go to my bank, get a money order, drop it off.
I pay most. I mean, most of my bills are paid with credit card online.
Yeah,
really?
I do all my bills online with this, and then the only thing that I actually go and get a piece of paper for is my rent. And I do that with a money order.
I am really a 20th century man.
Well, you sure it's 20th?
Hey.
20th AD.
That is...
Oh, no, actually 20th
BC. Paul, our intrepid photographer is here.
Yes.
You still use checks, Paul?
Yes.
Oh, good.
And I keep track of which businesses actually process them and send them in. They get preferential treatment.
Ah.
I only go to the others when I have to. And when they really annoy me, I'll pay a large purchase with $5 bills. And occasionally, I'll go get $2 bills.
Oh!
Mm. But technically, they don't have to take the $2 bills.
Really?
They're not legal tender.
$2 bills are not legal?
Well, they're not in circulation, so
they're not legal tender.
What do you mean?
A $5 bill is legal tender. They have to take it.
Well, it's one of those gray areas because people don't understand what it is, so they don't, you know, you can kind of get a way out. It's like kind of like the guy who goes down and pays with pennies, you know. I got this parking ticket. I'll show you. I'm going to pay, you know, my $100 fine in pennies, all loose.
And they don't have to take them?
Not with that. Actually, usually with that, they get arrested.
What?
Well, when you drop $100 worth of pennies on someone's table, it's going to make a mess and a disturbance. So there was the one guy recently who went down there and paid a fine with pennies and got arrested for disorderly conduct.
Boy, that's stretching it.
They have no sense of humor.
I guess not.
They don't like people to write paid under protest on checks.
Mm.
They get really upset.
I found horse.
Oh, you found one, did you?
Yeah.
Is it her first one?
I don't know. It doesn't say number one on here.
Okay. If you turned it over, the first one is dot, 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 and she smiled.
No, it's dot, 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 and forever I'll be yours.
Really? But that's not... Okay. So, are there any ones highlighted on that?
Yes.
Would you mind playing one of those?
Nah, I want to just spin the wheel and make a deal.
And behind door number one.
See that. How many Scottish lesbians you know are going to drop an F-bomb or two?
You never know.
I'll wash your mouth out with haggis.
It's time for music, folks. It is time for music.
You highlighted three songs, and two of them have to do with fish, so I'm going to go with the non-fish.
Okay.
This is After Hours. We'll regroup in a moment, and we should probably have Judy come in and...
top of the hour.
Do what
blah,
Judy
blah, blah,
does.
Blah. Oh, top of the hour, so we're going to play a couple songs?
Yeah.
Might as well.
Because we got 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Oh, God, I got to do math?
Yes, you do.
All righty. Let's play this now.
All right.
You are, you are now guilty. shoulders, I got big old Chris, baby. Yeah, I got big old Chris, baby. Yeah, I got big ovaries, baby. Hey, name it if you will. Brazen or bodacious, I got ovaries of steel. Yeah, I got big ovaries, baby.
Big ovaries, baby.
Oh, I got big ovaries, baby.
Take the square root of 625 and you get 25. 25 is a number, as in the silver anniversary of the Watermelon Dance Summer Social. The Last Concert Cafe, located at 1403 Nance Street, is proud to present this KPFT benefit on July 30th, beginning at 5 o'clock. This year's lineup includes Lisa Novak, Jimmy Lee Dean Band, Richard Cagle and the Voodoo Choir, Zentropy, McAdams, Drum, Hightailers, Pot Roast, BMC, and at midnight, a special surprise. The admission fee is $15 for one. Bring a friend, receive a discount, $25 for two. Door proceeds benefit KPFT. For more information, dial 713-226-8563. See you on Saturday, July 30th. So don't think twice, just think silver. And remember, watermelon, the other red meat. 90.1 KPFT, Houston.
Hi, I'm Joseph Mitchell from the Sharpstown High School Broadcaster Program. KPFT's own Pacifica Radio Archives is asking for KPFT listeners to help with an urgent preservation project. The archives are looking for copies of historical KPFT folio program guides.
The Fabulous Internet Archives have agreed to donate scanning and online access services to Pacifica, and now is our shot to save the KPFT history.
If you have folios, mail them here to the station. Drop them off or send them to the Pacifica Radio Archives in Los Angeles. Go to PacificaRadioArchives.org to get the address.
Soon, our history will be available for the world to access. I'm Sam Gonzalez from the Sharptown High School Broadcasting Program.
This is KPFT Houston.
And you're listening to After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude on listener-sponsored commercial-free Pacifica Radio for the Gulf Coast. KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, 89.5 Galveston, 89.7 Huntsville, and always the World Wide Web at kpft.org. Got to pump it louder. There.
A little bit, yeah.
The needle barely twitched.
Twitch.
We went into the top of the hour PSA stuff with Horse playing Guilty.
I am not.
Oops. And gay.
That name.
Yeah. With Big Ovaries Baby.
Really? Oh, my.
Yes. Big Ovaries Baby from Bittersweet Blues. That's right. Ladies and gentlemen, you heard me play two songs by women artists, and somebody opened the back door so that people can get back in. Open the front door for the other person who has to smoke by himself. And the people I'm expecting to come in are not coming in. Hi, it's the top of the hour. If you can hear me on the back patio.
Probably not. They probably have the volume turned down.
Probably not. So I guess I need to pick some more music and go out there and tell them, hey. And I don't mean hey as in hi. I mean hey as get your ass in here. Usually we can't get her off the air. We're off the
couch. I think Jimmy called her outside for something.
He lives with her. He can talk to her at home. I think there may be kind of... we're going to switch camera angles. All right. I'll throw something else in here to try and fill a little bit of time while we find some people who are supposed to be coming in. Let's try this. All right, we're going to step out. Like I said, we're waiting for the GCAM show, and we will be right back in just a moment. Here's a little Romanowski and Phillips.
In Manassas, Virginia.
In Abyssinia.
Social norms and teenage love. Missy and Heidi.
Space and dental cars.
Set up their allowances and went to the prom. They were both athletic.
On the track and on the court.
They excelled in the studies as well as in sports. But Missy and Heidi.
Kind of dropped a bomb.
By announcing that together they would go to the prom. They took a few jeers, they took some catcalls. Some of the classmates laughed in the halls, but Missy and Heidi, as friends, cheered them on, straightened up their bow ties, and went to the prom. Some folks were amused, some were simply stunned. No one really knew what a victory they had won. And as they danced one dance in the lavender cummerbunds, the principal told them
that they had every right.
He said he couldn't deny them their special night. So Missy and Heidi,
assisted by the moms,
pinned their pink corsages on and went to the prom. They talked to the blade, they talked to the post with some trepidation as the day grew close. But Missy and Heidi, not Missy and Tom, rented out a limousine and went to the prom. The summit was a joke, the summit wasn't real, but they were just another couple, no big deal. As they danced one dance in tuxedos and high heels. So if you're letting your love
be determined by the world,
if your banner of love hasn't been unfurled, think of Missy and Heidi.
Cause they knew all along,
everybody's got a right to go to the prom.
All right, enough applause. Bell ready in there?
Horse Radio's
going
to be.
Yeah.
Hi. Yeah. We're getting a little rocky start this evening, but I think it's going to be an interesting
Did you say the plot thickened?
Oh, no, I tried to avoid it. I said the plot sickened that you weren't listening.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, we usually like our tomato salsa thickened a little bit.
And, you know, we're running a little late. The original guest didn't show up. So now, at 3 minutes after the hour, this is the GCAM segment. That's Gulf Coast Archive and Museum of Gay, Lesbian, Bisexual, and Transgender History, Inc. segment for the month. John looks like he's having microphone trouble. No, okay.
Nope. He's not having any trouble.
Wow.
Judy's here as usual. John's here as usual. And we have three guests for the first portion of the hour, and then we'll have one guest for the last portion of the hour. We have military people today.
Three? Past. I thought Randy was leaving.
No, he did.
Okay.
We have military past and future. So come join me over here because it's the chair that's left over. Y'all scooch.
Was this the person I was listening to outside? Were you just practicing your violin?
That right. Now.
What? Oh, okay. Okay.
Actually, we're
this
here.
This is future?
This is future.
Okay, yes. We can't talk about the violin.
Military, et cetera, et cetera.
Military, et cetera, et cetera. Well,
yeah.
Right now.
Let me tell them who you are first.
Oh.
I just walked in. We all just walked in. Y'all share with me.
Okay.
I don't know if they can hear me or not. I'm hoarse. I'm sure if they can't hear me, Chris will let me know. I can hear me now, so I must be.
Yeah, you're. Yeah, you sound like you're in the bathroom.
Excuse me?
that microphone makes you sound like you're in the bathroom.
Well, thank you for sharing.
No,
I didn't tell them yet that we were broadcasting from the bathroom tonight, but it's okay. We'll.
I thought it was the bottom of the well.
I was wondering what that white thing behind
you. You'll have to understand us. We're all nerds. Okay.
That's fine.
So, anyway, we have actually one of the co-producers of the show, Wes, is here with us as a past military man. What branch and so on?
U.S. Navy.
U.S. Navy.
Navy.
Oh, awesome. My goodness. Okay, and we have a future.
Army.
ROTC this is Connect. Drake that you're hearing.
Yes.
Oh, I didn't say who you were, did I?
No.
Nurse Robert.
Do I have to? No. We have Robert, Wes, and Drake with us. So Robert and Wes were in the Navy when it was not cool to be gay. And Drake is getting ready to go into the Army as?
I'm looking to fly helicopters.
Okay.
Bravo. Well done for you. CWO? Yes.
Absolutely. So, yeah. Right now, I just need to make sure that actually getting into the Army as a transgender.
Uh-huh. See, she said the word finally. Now we know why it's important to be in here tonight.
I haven't started therapy yet. I'm planning to start it in September.
Okay.
And I'm trying to get with the Service Members Legal Defense Network to see what the all ins and outs are about for that.
Definitely.
There's not a whole lot written about actually being a cadet because you're not quite commissioned yet. And you're still in that weird transition stage for any military thing. And then I'm going through a second transition stage.
This life is a full of transitions for you.
Yes. College does that.
Doesn't it, though?
Yeah.
So why did you two gentlemen go into the Navy at the time when you did? Did you know you were gay when you joined the Navy?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
There was no doubt in my mind.
Okay. And Wes?
I joined the Navy before I even knew who I was. So
A lot of people do that.
Yeah. So at that point in my life, I was just out of high school. I didn't even know my rear end from a hole in the ground.
I bet you do now.
Oh, okay. Definitely.
Wait a minute. You knew how to find it without using a flashlight, didn't you?
Maybe.
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 I knew there was a reason I loved you.
Well, it took a different direction again. So
yes.
There we go.
But that's my job around here.
Okay.
Redirecting traffic.
No.
So, okay, knowing you were gay, did it have a bearing on how you conducted yourself in the service or what went on with you in the service and other people? Anybody have any clue?
A great impact, yes.
I can see eyes. Hi, Robert.
This was well before Don't Ask, Don't Tell.
Right.
Yeah. What year was this?
How about 79 to 81?
Okay. Well, let me ask you this. Fear, I guess. Who would you say is more afraid? Is it the heteros that are more afraid of the gays, or is it the gays who are more afraid of the heteros?
Depends on where you're stationed at.
Ah.
Yeah.
Tell me about
that. Okay, well, for instance, if you're stationed in Okinawa, such as I was after having completed my A school, it goes that the gays are much more afraid of the heteros finding out because you can go out into the populace where homosexuality is actually accepted amongst the Japanese nationals. However, if you bring it back onto base, then things can get a little out of hand. Bigotry is not a lost art form there. However, if you're stationed in, say, San Diego, San Francisco, New York, Seattle, or any of the land-based stations, naval air stations, then it goes the other way around. It just does. It goes the other way around.
What are they afraid of?
They're afraid that guilt through association. They've got a big macho image and a reputation to uphold.
Well, we have had that problem before, that guilt by association thing. You know?
Right.
So it's not news.
That one's not brand new, no. But when I went into service, it was automatic, you know, dishonorable discharge. If they even perceived that you were a person of that ilk, you know, you chose to have sex with people of your own gender as opposed to doing the biblical thing.
Yeah. So when were you in?
I went in from 93 to 97.
Whole different era.
Yeah, whole different era. In fact, let me think. Probably about 3 months after I joined the Navy was when Don't Ask, Don't Tell went into effect. So I actually saw the beginning of Don't Ask, Don't Tell and was there for that whole transition into that. So it was a different ballgame altogether there. Of course, unlike when Robert was in, things had actually changed a bit more and the mindsets had changed a lot more. Granted, there was still a lot of the fear of homosexuals and everything like that, but there were a lot more people that were more understanding and accepting of the homosexuals. So it made life a little bit easier in some senses. Like I was stationed aboard a ship, and my chain of command there was very accepting. And even when I wanted to get out, they were offering to let me stay in.
Mm.
So it was a whole different ball game there, and yep. it's even progressing even more into a different ball game nowadays. Now that Don't Ask, Don't Tell has been repealed,
which brings us to Drake. Do you think that's going to make any difference at all? Have any bearing on? If let's just assume for a minute all your barriers are passed, you know, being transgender. I know she's wrong. Let's assume you get past all that. You get all the way to get that uniform on. Do you really think that Don't Ask, Don't Tell is still an issue in the military? I mean, you're getting closer to it every day.
Well, as of right now, I know that it hasn't quite been repealed yet. There's been a time expiration date on it. I don't know the exact date, unfortunately. But as far as Don't Ask, Don't Tell, even with transgenders, it doesn't directly address the transgender issue, which... for the life of me, I can't remember this person's name, but there was an article, a news article, concerning somebody who did great service in the Army, and when he became a transgender woman, he started, you know, coming into these other obstacles, and, you know, they're going around saying, well, you're not really a female, but you're not male either.
Right.
And he's like, well, it should really be based on what my resume says. And I have X, Y, and Z denoting me as superior to these other people that you have in line for the job. And it's just seen as a rather unfair advantage for other people to take.
So, nothing is yours, and you get credit for nothing if you should suddenly up and change your gender, which is what they think. They think all of a sudden you decide to do this. It's like, it took a day or two to plan it.
Then they start to worry about psychological stability.
Exactly, and that's what they have it listed as, researching it on the Service Members Legal Defense Network, transgender and being military. They definitely see it as listed medical gender dysphoria.
Mm-hmm.
And they can say, we're going to refuse you service because of this mental gender dysphoria. And unfortunately, I don't see that going away in anytime soon. Yeah. So.
But it's a battle you're ready to fight.
Hmm?
But it's a battle you're ready to fight.
Absolutely.
All right.
Absolutely. I'm going to be talking with the Service Members Legal Defense Network soon. I'm going to see, hopefully they'll give me some good information on how to take care of that. I also am trying to get in contact with the Transgender Veterans of America.
Okay.
Just to see what their opinion on it is. Because looking on it, it doesn't necessarily say anything about cadets. And that's mostly what I'm concerned with as of now.
One step at a time.
Exactly.
Yeah.
One step at a time.
I got a question for Wes.
Okay.
So how did they find out that you were gay?
You told them. I told. I broke the second half of Don't Ask, Don't Tell. I actually...
did it come into lunch, or how did it come up?
No, it was one of those things where...
BT dubs.
not quite like that.
How are you? I'm gay.
There was a day where, it was a process of figuring out what I wanted to do, because I had figured out, finally come into my own and figured out who I really was, and I took and wrote a letter to my chain of command and turned it in. Because I sent it, I addressed it to the captain of the ship, the XO, the legal officer, my department head, and everything, and decided to go ahead and turn the letter in. And like I said, it was a process of figuring out: do I really want to do this? Do I want to end my career here and move on to a new chapter of my life and whatnot? So the decision finally came down to yes, I do, and I went ahead and did everything. And being an administrative person, I went ahead and did in the proper format, wrote an actual formal letter to the chain of command and turned it in.
Oops.
And I think it was probably the next day I got a call from the legal officer. I asked him to come up to his office, so I did. And
that's the fastest military ever moved.
Well, when it comes to stuff like that, they tend to want to react rather quickly to
remove anything that's perceived as a threat.
Nip it in the bud.
Well,
yes.
because I was in a different era of the military, it wasn't really posed as a threat. They just wanted to.
They wanted to
take care of the issue because my chain of command was a progressive chain of command where they wanted to take care of things and make sure that the ship operated in a smooth form, which it did very wonderfully during every operation we had to handle. I was a decorated yeoman in the Navy, and so they actually called me up. I think I sat up there for about 3 hours in the legal officer's office talking to the legal officer and his aide. His aide there taking notes and everything.
And what were they talking about?
The first hour was sitting down talking to me, asking me, do I really want to do this? And making sure that I had actually thought everything out before I made the final decision to actually end my military career.
Publicly admit that you were gay.
Yeah.
But have you thought everything out before you end your military career?
Exactly. Yeah. And the very last question that they asked me before during that first hour was, basically they told me, you have a choice. We'll go ahead and, you can go ahead and be a known homosexual on the ship, and we're not going to do anything to you.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can go home.
Obviously,
I took the second choice because I knew I was ready to move on to the next chapter of my life.
Mm-hmm.
So the next 2 hours was basically an interview, putting everything down on paper, and determining whether I was going to be honorably discharged or dishonorably.
Right.
And I did get my honorable discharge. So I retained all my benefits. However, I was when I was discharged, I was given a discharge code that says I could not be recalled to the military at all.
4-H, an F-4.
RE-4.
RE-4.
Yeah.
Why was that?
It's reenlistment 4.
Yeah.
It means that you're no longer eligible to reenlist if you decide to change your mind and try and re-enter the service at a later date.
And they also cannot recall anybody that has that reenlistment code on their record.
And maybe just clarify that for me. It sounds like that's a bad thing.
It's not a bad thing.
Well, for instance, if there's a draft, he's safe.
Yeah, I cannot be called back for draft reasons or anything like that. I cannot go back under any kind of reenlistments that they may open up that most people would be eligible for.
And that's what the military wanted. They didn't want you to come back.
It's not that they didn't want me to come back. It's what was set up in the legal process.
It's considered to be in the best interest of the government, the country of the United States, as well as the person involved, that there be a separation between the two that doesn't get smaller or smaller or smaller.
Exactly. So it's not a bad thing, but it's not a good thing either. It's kind of more neutral.
Since he still has his benefits intact.
Yeah, all my benefits, I retained every one of my benefits, which means I could go to a VA hospital if I need be. I can still, whenever I pass on, I'm still allowed to be buried in a VA cemetery. Mm-hmm. I still have my my plot and everything from the military. I retained all my educational benefits and use them if I choose to, and still retain the title of a veteran of the United States of America.
Mm-hmm. I guess I'm trying to rationalize why would they want to discharge you and then put that little extra thing at the tail end of saying, man, we don't want you to
Well, it's not that they want it to. It's because of the way everything was set up prior to more modern thinking.
Oh, okay. So it was just the inherent bias.
Yeah.
A kinder, gentler government.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
trying, if you'll.
Kind of, yes.
Forgive the expression, trying to save face.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So.
Both of them.
So basically, again, it's one of those things, they did right by me, and I did right by them.
Okay. Then you were ready to leave.
Yeah, I was ready. It was time for me to move on to a new chapter of my life, and which I did. And there, again, Robert Pryor would agree with me. There are parts of it that I do miss, but there's parts of it I don't. Mm. I mean, the camaraderie that you have in the military, you cannot find anywhere in the private sector.
Mm-hmm. The esprit de corps, the sense of belonging, an almost brotherhood type.
Yeah,
aspect to one's life.
Yeah, basically, but
that is very rare.
Yeah, I have been through. Oh, I don't know.
It's especially strong with people who've got flight background.
Yeah, or exactly. anybody that's been aboard a naval vessel.
Right.
Yeah.
You'll find a strong camaraderie between those people because not only do you work on that ship. But while you're at sea, you live there, you breathe there, you do everything there.
And you can never tell when your life may depend upon the bond you've already formed with that buddy, that friend.
And you never know from one minute to the next. Again, if your life is going to depend on the guy standing next to you or not. Or if you need to save their life.
No matter what his orientation is. Yeah.
So, as a vet, before all of this started, Robert, how did you react when all of this came up? I mean, when the government started making all this noise about the queers in the military, et cetera, knowing that you'd been in, there were no problems. Okay. I assume nobody or very few people knew, or the people who did know, it wasn't an issue for them, obviously.
Country's been in denial since 1776.
You think?
Uh-huh. That's what I would say. And everybody thinks it's just a river in Egypt.
Yeah.
They're swimming in it. Okay, so there have been gays in the military since day one of this nation's birth up to the current date. And it's been handled in different fashions over the eras. And yes, even though we're now starting to get to a point where tolerance and acceptance are being pushed, where there is no discrimination, simply because someone chooses to enjoy the company of someone of their own gender. Knowing what I went through in the military service, one of the reasons I left home was because my dad, even though he'll tell you he's not bigoted, you know, still calls, you know, still calls, well, for instance, I'll give you a quote. I went to see my dad after I hadn't seen him for about 12 or 15 years. And the first time we're having a conversation, my dad's putting on defensive postures and being rather threatening with his body language and says, oh, by the way, I found out you're nothing but a dirty little queer.
Yes. Okay. Okay. That works.
At 18, I had heard
all
Choice
of words.
Yes. At 18, I had heard all my life from my dad, at 18, you're out of here, 18, you're out of here, 18, you're out of here. Well, one day after my 18th birthday, I went to see the Navy recruiter.
And you were out of there.
And I took the paperwork to have it signed by both my parents because the recruiter says, son, you may be 18, but you're only one day 18, and that's not sufficient to cover what I think our government needs. So I want both parents' signatures.
So now we have some rewriting of the rules to suit whoever's in charge that day at the desk. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Well, my mother signed it instantaneously.
Yeah.
My dad, on the other hand, said, well, I thought you were going to go to school. I said, I will, and I'll do it with benefits, you know, from the government.
Absolutely.
After I have completed service. But the days of your built-in babysitter are over. I'm the oldest of 10.
Ah. Oh. Okay.
And the only way that, you know, I was comfortable was I wanted to be an only child. Well, my sexuality played into that quite nicely because there's no way I can inseminate another male and have him give birth to a child.
Not for the lack of trying.
Well,
that's a whole different
you know
show,
me so well.
Robert. Yeah.
Yeah, you know me so well. So I found it difficult going through basic training in the military because you're in close quarters.
Yes.
And there are showers. You're in a set of barracks with some 30 or 40 other young men who are sleeping in bunk beds that are too high and at two, as in 1-2, not 2-2-0-0.
Yeah.
You know, because, you know, you obviously have to be able to get from one bunk to another. But there were a lot of people playing around in basic training, and they did this during the wee hours of the early morning and being, you know, somewhat afraid of, do I really let them know that I'd like to be playing in this game too? Or do I keep it to myself, even though most of them are not stupid? They see that sometimes my attention wanders and I have an innate ability to notice people who are noticing other people and enjoy the facial expressions that are coming and going and the sounds that I'm hearing in the middle of the night and wondering, okay, what happens when I get caught again? Oh, yeah. They put my name down on a piece of paper that says I'm dishonorably discharged, and no matter that I've already given service to my country, I'm now out on the streets and
blacklisted.
Blacklisted. And any future employer who starts to ask questions about, oh, I see that you've got military service behind you. What was your discharge? Was it honorable or dishonorable? If it's dishonorable, there are several avenues in employment that you can't go into because it's almost assumed that you had a criminal background.
It's basically the same as a criminal background. It's like having a felony on your record.
So,
so when I started hearing about Don't Ask, Don't Tell, I'm going, yeah, well, where was that 20 years ago?
All right. We've got all kinds of different eras sitting in the room here.
Yeah.
How long did you spend in the military?
I was only in for 18 months. I was discharged on a medical discharge.
Okay.
At the government's convenience.
Mm-hmm. There you go. That's a darn good government, isn't it?
I thought so at the time.
They helped Wes. They helped you. Mm-hmm. Think they're going to help you, right? So...
It's just
what
up in the
it,
air.
Yeah, what is it that, that causes you to want to go into the military in the first place, face all this strife? Because it's not like all you have to do is go down the recruiter and sign papers.
Yeah, the background investigation alone is going to be extensive.
Yeah. Especially if you're going for a security clearance.
Exactly.
And it will include your medical history.
Yeah. Luckily... the therapy that I am going through, as told by several people, if the insurance doesn't pay for it, it doesn't show up on your medical record, which I don't believe one bit. I don't believe at all.
As a nurse, I can tell you that anytime you go through a medical procedure, there is a physical written record, a hard copy somewhere.
Somewhere.
And they're going to get it.
Yep.
Yeah. So... I got that to nip me in the butt if I'm not careful. In terms of actually deciding on whether I wanted to go into the military or not, it's really, and I don't want to make this sound trite, it's in my blood. Both of my grandparents served on cruisers in the Navy. Both. One was... serving in the Philippines, one was serving somewhere in the Atlantic. And it's always intrigued me. I always love going with my family to the air shows religiously. And I've actually been trained, not hardcore per se, but my dad and I have a very keen interest on listening to the jets that fly overhead, counting how many planes there are just by listening, how fast they're going, how high they are overhead, where they are. And it's just something that always interested me, and I've always wanted to fly, despite my bad eyesight. But that can be fixed.
We can fix that.
Yes. Yeah. And...
Modern wonder of LASIK.
LASIK surgery, yeah. And... before I realized that I was transgender and bisexual, it wasn't an issue. I'd be like, okay, go through college, do the ROTC program, leadership training, go ahead and go 9 years of service.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And then senior year, freshman year of college, a lot of things came to light. As it usually does at that time nowadays. I see a pattern. A lot of people are starting to see, notice these changes younger and younger and younger. And when I realize this, I'm like, what's this going to do with my military career? Am I going to be able to fly because I'm, you know, transgender? Will I be seen as physically inept to do so? And... yeah, that's just kind of hanging over my head at this point. So, right now, I just need to... I've been doing research. Like I said, Service Members Legal Defense Network, going to be talking with some lawyers and attorneys just to get more info on that particular subject because there's not a whole lot that's written on that.
Why don't you keep in touch with me? And as things progress and you make... baby steps, so to speak.
Absolutely.
Let's talk, and we'll get you back on for a little bit, you know, periodically, just to kind of follow this story historically, because I don't think this is a really common story to tell.
And that's the kind of uncharted territory that I don't want to be going into, but I am completely delving into it.
Yeah.
Yeah, you definitely are, because, I mean, even in my service, and some of the people that I still associate with, it's just something that you don't hear very much of anywhere.
Yeah.
Mm. I mean, I don't, I'm not speaking for Robert and his era in the military, but I didn't know any transgenders when I was in.
And you usually don't.
Yeah.
There's a very good chance that you may walk up to someone and say hello, talk to them, go away, and never know that they're transgender.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You just may think they're, you know, just androgynous, or they may have completed, quote-unquote, because it's a forever ongoing process,
yes,
the yeah. physical appearance of being female, male.
Yeah.
And you would just never notice. And, yeah.
Well, outside of the Legal Defense Network, is there anyone else that's giving you support, mentoring you through this process? Are you doing it on your own?
Right now, I'm pretty much a maverick right now. And I hate... Okay, I wouldn't say hate doing this on my own. It's rather exciting, and it's very, very scary. But I'm trying, like I said, you know, outside of the service members... what was it? Transgender workplace. Just for anything outside of, if for some reason the military service just can't work mm-hmm. due to medical mm-hmm. records, due to X, Y, and Z. Just seeing, you know, what does it look like for a transgender person to be working, you know, flying helicopters just as a civilian job. If for some reason I would like to do life flight, and I can't, where does that put me?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I'm also looking into other avenues, programming. I've always considered myself an artist, and I have a friend of mine who, at my college right now up in Baltimore, is also going through Army ROTC with a joint college program. And so he and I are kind of feeling out the territory in that, because, you know, while he's not transgender or gay or otherwise, he's also going through some new things, mostly because we're attending an art school, right. but we're also pursuing a military career. And many recruiters would frown upon that.
Look at that. Yes.
Yeah. And they say, why are you getting a bachelor in fine arts? That's not going to give the military any reason for us to let you become an ensign once you start commission.
Well, that's quite a road you're carving for yourself. But
yeah.
why do I have a feeling she's going to make it? It's like
it'll definitely be a milestone in history as far as that goes. So I'm definitely going to keep an eye out and an ear on the ground for you.
Thanks.
Sounds to me like she's got the drive and the determination that's needed to succeed.
Exactly.
It'll help push push us forward, and with the issues of, like, don't ask, don't tell, and making them go away.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, they say that bravery bravery is being afraid and still taking the action anyhow.
Absolutely.
You know, going for it anyhow. You know, it's not the lack of being afraid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think notice you have an instrument there.
Yeah.
Talk about substance.
Yeah.
So Dr. Pepper.
I will say this, and I forget who I said it to earlier this evening, but mm-hmm. and if and when everything comes to fruition and you do join are able to join the military, it'll be nice to see you as a sister in arms, because once in the military, always in the military.
Mm-hmm. Well, I appreciate everybody coming into this little impromptu meeting about the military, and I don't think that we've offended the government so badly that they're going to cut off our microphones. But I'm going to, for a few minutes, we're going to take a quick break, and then we will be back to finish out the GCAM Hour with a little different kind of guest. So, Wes, thanks for being with us, and... Robert, thanks for being with us. And Drake, thanks for being here for the first time.
Absolutely.
And we'll be back in a few minutes.
Dum 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 d He's a real estate developer with an MBA. He'll gentrify your neighborhood so you can't stay. He is a top man at his craft. He invests with his friends who went to Dalton and Taft. In the East Village now, he's buying property. There'll be Ralph Lauren and Bugle Boy on Avenue B. Like Jim and Sue McDougal, he knows Uncle Sam. His previous accounting got him in a jam. A judge has seemed to understand. He got a slap on the wrist, they got a piece of the land. And soon the yuppies will jump at affordable property. There where Calvin Klein and Bugle Boy on Avenue B. A dink, double income. No kids driving sleek foreign cars. No geopisms. In a few years, the blues will have no bucks of Puerto Ricans in them. Toot, toot, and property values jump when he buys realty. They'll drink Starbucks and wear Bugle Boy on Avenue B. Bum, 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 bum.
He has one simple plan for making bucks on Avenue B.
First bring in lots of white gay men. Now Sinclair will buy trendy bars and galleries.
And then lure the yuppies open up as a bars. They will pay $10 for Kugel
on Avenue B. It will be fun when they can slum it with their chums and other straights and gay bars. You can't blow up love if he makes sure his girlfriend's standing with him. Next, clean up the neighborhood for families. He'll make it just like Darien on Avenue B. His lawyer send eviction papers every night. His middleman make sure you're left without a right. The tenants phone fax, stamp their feet. But you can't send a fax when all your stuff's in the street. But suddenly crime is down, the street's graffiti free. And he will win awards for saving Avenue B. Da, da, thank you. Da, da, thank you very much. Da, da, I'd like to spank the little people.
Let's move all the poor to Schenectady. I hear there's land available on Avenue C. You can do what you want as long as you keep to yourself. You can be who you are as long as it's somewhere else. If a Simon says life, you must do what's expected. After all, it's our way of life to protect. So we follow the obvious, blind leading the blind. And no one cares until you color outside the lines. It's a paint-by-number, predictable situation. A black-and-white world with technicolor implications. Move to the rhythm of a different drum. One steps out and they all come undone. They try to ignore things that they can't define. And no one cares until you color outside the lines. When it's not picture perfect and you dare to be different, that's when they open their eyes. Well, they'll try to deny it, then try to hide it by covering up what they find. The only time they look your way is when you mess with their precious designs. And no one cares until you color outside the lines. It's not about how you look, it's just your appearance. No, it's not about what you say, it's just how they hear it. Speak out of turn, they put a mark on the page. Say too much, you'll be feeling their rage. You must conform to what they all decide. Cause no one cares until you color outside the lines. When it's not picture perfect and you dare to be different, that's when they open their eyes.
Well, they tried to deny it, then try to hide it by covering up what they find. The only time they look your way is when you mess with their precious designs. And no one cares until you color outside the lines. Like your crayon shades or the pictures that you choose. And your abstract style's just a bit too wild, to say the least, and not amused. No, don't let them stop you, don't let them tell you that you're not doing it right. Cause no one cares until you color outside the lines. No one cares until you color the lines. You see, God smiles when you color outside the lines.
Much clapping, much clapping. That music was just played live in our studio here by someone we have just recently been introduced to. Actually, a transgender individual who's getting ready to start fighting her battle with the military to see if she can't...
fight with them.
Yeah, exactly. This was Drake.
Yes.
So she's with us for the rest of the hour here to talk a little bit more about that particular little talent you have. What in the world? I mean, I walk out on the patio and there's this beautiful music being played. And it's like, wow, I needed that. Where's the radio? And it's like, the radio's not there. You're sitting at the picnic table.
Sounded like an upscale party going on.
It did. It did. So how did you happen to just, first of all, just be here tonight? And secondly, bring that lovely instrument with you.
Well, I came here with a friend of mine, Mike Monahan. I'm getting to know the Houston area a little bit better. I've lived around the area for long enough. I might as well start, you know, actually learning, you know, where the Heights is, where Montrose is.
Well, welcome to the Montrose, that's for sure.
Yeah.
How long have you been here for?
I've been living in the counties down south for about... 12 years.
And in Houston?
Yes. In Clear Lake area from ages 3 to 8.
And if I may ask, how old are you?
I'm 19.
19.
As of Friday.
All right. So, oh, now that's why we're fighting the military now. We're 19.
Yes.
So, okay. All right.
Yeah.
And how do you come by this talent? I mean, I understand you had a lot of military in your background, but...
Oddly enough, I do have a lot of music in my background as well. My grandfather, on my mother's side, is a very, very talented pianist. Never quite finished any formal training, but his improvisation skills is... They're just absolutely top-notch. If he really wanted to, he could become a jazz pianist.
Wow. What luck for you, yeah. Yeah, I want to mention, too, that there was no sheet music in here, no nothing, no help. Just and actually, she knew about 10 seconds before she started she was going to play this, so.
Oh, it's time to go now.
Like, yeah. We're opening the mic with your song. Oh. You know, she didn't even have it time to get the violin up to your chin before they opened the mics.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I've been playing violin since I was 7.
It shows.
My family believes in a strong, at least artistic, musical background. They know that if you start doing things like art and music, it'll open up your mind to develop in other things such as math, reading, etc. In general, and this is just a statistic and something that I've lived to, most musicians have a better GPA than most kids.
That makes perfect sense to me. So what I'm hearing you say is we should start people who want to be in the military, I mean, in the government offices when they're adults, we should start them playing instruments early. So that maybe they'll develop
singing.
Some kind of talent for people.
For people, I would suggest choir arrangements.
That would work. That would work. Anything that makes them more understanding and more open-minded, you know. But unfortunately, I don't think there's a musical talent among any of our government officials.
It doesn't necessarily require talent. It requires a lot of hard work. That's all.
Oh, see, I'm lazy. are they going to get your good side, John? So. But, you know, I mean, it's unusual to have somebody walk into the studio that you... would love to have a guest on, you know, as a guest on immediately, and then to find out that you want to have them on as two guests in the same evening, it's like, you know. But, so, let's assume for a moment you don't have a lot of military aspirations, or you suddenly realize it's just not what you want to do, because something private comes along and that fills the bill for you. Would you pursue your musical talents as...
I've always pursued my musical talents as something for me.
Okay.
It makes me happy. It's a part of me. It's been a part of me since I was very young. From age 9 to about 8th grade, I participated in the Houston Youth Symphony several times. I was concertmaster. I've also done the UIL Orchestra's TMEA. Made it to state for TMEA. I was a principal chair in the string orchestra junior year of high school for the state string. And throughout high school, I have been concertmaster without fail. So it's just, in any other things like, you know, grades or music or art or military career, I will and must do my best. So I really push for it.
Yeah, well, that military career is looking wider and wider open for you to me. It's like listening and watching your talents and so on. I have no doubt that you're going to succeed in both. So, well, you've already succeeded in the music area, so there's no question about that. But how did you pick the violin or did it pick you?
I remember when I was... When my parents allowed me to start picking instruments, mm-hmm. they really, and for most musicians, they want you to start with piano. Piano gives
Always.
You good theory base. But I pushed my parents, like, nope, I'm going to jump into violin. The end.
Well, I started with the flute and got pushed into the violin. I went, well, wait a minute, where's my flute? You know?
Yeah. So. It's difficult transitioning between instruments.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't looking forward to that. So if I worked with one and then found that if I start, for instance, with a violin, then I could move into other things. I also play mandolin and bouzouki. I'm learning guitar. I do know theory on the piano. That's about all I know on the piano. Chords.
Well, that's a good start.
as long as it's sufficient enough to write music with, yes.
There you go. You so, write your own music too, right?
Absolutely. The song that I played, I'm currently...
Tell us a little about that.
It's got a lot of Hungarian and Moldovan influences. I'm trying to tailor it into a tango.
Oh, okay.
So...
Well, when you come back about the military, you'll have to bring the violin with you.
Absolutely.
We'll do both again. Sounds good to me. All right. You going to give us another little song to shut this down with?
Sure thing.
Okay. I know I'd like that. I'm assuming everybody else would like it.
Yes.
Yeah, you know, we've got 4 or 5 minutes. A jig would work as long as I don't have to dance. You don't want to see me do that, Greg, trust me. And thank you, by the way, for being here and staying for the second segment.
No problem.
All right. Got me out of my chair. Yes, 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 yes. Thank you so much for that. What a way to end an hour. All right.
Absolutely.
Well, we will be back in touch with you, and you will be coming back on, I hope, fairly.
Yes.
Fairly often, just to kind of give us little updates whenever you're around or something.
Until
that would
I go
be
back
great.
To Baltimore, of course.
Well, okay, maybe we'll do a telephone thing. I'm not sure we can do a telephone violin, but yeah.
Yes, we can.
Yes, we can, yes, Jimmy we can. Says. Yes, we can.
I am a huge proponent of live music on After Hours, and it's so rare that we ever get to get it.
But can we actually get it through a telephone?
Yeah.
All right.
What if I send you guys a music disc?
Oh,
now, only okay. If you send me a copy of one, too.
You bet.
That's all you want.
Okay, not
you
just
Jimmy. Bet.
Okay, you can do that. Okay,
you
I'm
bet.
Not proud.
I'm sure people who, if anybody tuned in right in the middle, they were probably like, wow, what's this?
Love you like a brother, Jimmy, but they're kicking us off the air.
I know, we got to go.
Is this a proper music?
Yeah.
We got to go. Thank
we
you.
We will. Thank you.
We'll be
thank
right
you.
Back.
Thanks.
Hi, I'm Sam Gonzalez from the Sharptown High School Broadcasting Program. KPFT has just launched a new paperless system at kpft.org. Now, you can submit public service announcements, open journal proposals, and more through the station website, kpft.org.
Going paperless is better for the environment and means your submissions arrive faster to KPFT offices. Do you have a nonprofit community event to promote? Do you have an idea for a program or want to host an open journal? Then visit kpft.org now to submit your application. While there, you can make a pledge online and support the great programming you love. This is 90.1 KPFT Houston.
Listeners love KPFT and its programming, pledge drives not so much. So this summer, KPFT invites you to participate in a bold experiment and join the 10% of KPFT listeners who donate monthly to the station. Visit kpft.org today, click the Every Member a Sustainer button, choose the monthly contribution level you're comfortable with, and do your part to increase that 10% of the listeners sustaining to 100%. With greater sustainer support via kpft.org, KPFT can give you more of the great programming you love. Sustaining members make KPFT's future income predictable, providing the fiscal stability KPFT needs to have fewer pledge drive days. $5, $10, $15, or $20 a month from you makes all the difference. Visit kpft.org, click the Every Member a Sustainer button, and become a sustainer of KPFT quickly and securely online. You'll also be able to make sure your donation goes to the credit of your favorite show, and you can pick out a thank you gift too. This is KPFT Houston.
And you're listening to After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude, on listener-sponsored commercial-free Pacifica Radio for the Gulf Coast, KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, 89.5 Galveston, 89.7 Huntsville, and always www.kpft.org. You can also find After Hours on Facebook. Just find our After Hours page over there. Defriend Jimmy. Become a friend of After Hours. That way we can get more friends than Jimmy.
Ah!
Ha ha ha.
Go to Jimmy Carper.
No, no, no. We're going to throw a little bit more music in here. That's not as wonderful as the wonderful violin we just heard, but we've got some great queer artists out there that are going to put some wonderful words in your ears. So we'll be back in a bit. We'll probably have some roundtable in about an hour. So we'll see you soon.
And if you want me for my good looks, you'll have to make up the flag. And if you want me for my high class, I got plenty of that. But if you want me for my money, honey, I guarantee I'll find a way to get it back. Don't want to get nasty, don't want to put you in jail. And if you want me for my high class, I got plenty of that. But if you want me for my money, honey, I guarantee I'll find a way to get it back. You'll have to make up.
Hello there, something catch your eye. Hello there, something you want to say. Hello there, do you think that I can see you staring this way? Problem. Hello, miss. Yes, that comes in blue. Hello there. Do you think that I can't hear you? I see you talking under your breath, and I can hear how you whisper. Point me out to your friends and don't think I don't know. I don't blend in. I know I don't blend. Keep walking till they go away. Keep walking like I am not hurt. Brothers could fight off all the people staring, and my father could hold my hand. Sometimes I wish I could learn how to walk straight, and I wish I'd stop caring. Hello there, do we
that takes all night. Takes all night. Takes all night. Takes all night.
Kill them!
Grabbed a hold of me, and it felt Papers, the less I comprehend the world and all its capers and how it all may end. Nothing seems to be lasting, but that isn't our affair. We've got something permanent, I mean in the way we care. It's very clear our love is here to stay. Not for a year, but ever and a day. The radio and the telephone and the movies that we know may just be passing fancies, and in time may go. But oh my dear, our love is here to stay. Together we're going a long, long way. In time the Rockies may crumble, Gibraltar may tumble, they're only made of clay, but our love is here to stay. Is here to stay, not for a year, but ever and a day. them. They make go, but oh my dear, our love is here to stay. Together we're going a long, long way. In time, the Rockies may tumble, Gibraltar may crumble. They're only made of clay, but our love is here. Our love is here. Our love is here to stay.
Makes my life worthwhile. To know him is to love him. And I do,
and I do, and I do. Everyone says there'll come a day when I'll walk alongside of him. Yes, just to know him is to love him. And I do,
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 and I do, and I do. Was meant for me.
If you should ever need me, call me. No matter where you are, no matter how far, just call my name. I'll be there in a hurry. On that you can depend and never, ever worry. And if you should ever get caught short of life's desires, remember, life holds for you one guarantee. You'll always have me. No wind, no rain, no winter's cold.
But know him is to love him. Just to see him smile makes my life worthwhile.
Moment mal. Ich bin ganz atemlos. Und
in my dreams, I have a plan. If I got me a wealthy man, I wouldn't have to work at all. I'd fool around and have a
G.I. Josephine.
a son. There'd be no procreation, no baby cribs at sea, no frigging in the rigging. You can leave the boys for me. I don't ask, don't tell. Contaminate me with your smell. Perfume powder drenching me. Loaded guns inside of me. Soak me down with your desire. In the shower, under fire. Wave the white flag, keep it clean. Call me G.I. Josephine.
Neither, but you swear she was a man. She wears an old hard hat. She's loud and proud. She don't run and hide. She's known across South Texas as the Texas City Dyke. She's rough as a corn cob. She's tough as a boot. Meaner than a pit bull. She's a welder for Brown and Root. Well, her real name is Bertha Bobby. I'll call her Butch. She's just like one of the guys. Ah, but don't you get on the wrong side of that Texas City dice. Well, don't you get on the wrong side of that Texas City dice. Two things she likes doing, and one of them is fight. She'll do you in front of all your friends and spit red man in your eye. So don't you get on the wrong side of that Texas City dirt. About the caps off a Lone Star, long neck beer bottles just for fun. Arm wrestle them truck drivers, take their money one by one. Well, she claims she can lick her eyebrows and steal any woman in sight. Keeps her vibrators on a gun rack. She's a Texas City dyke. Well, she's got herself a cute little girlfriend. Sweetest thing you ever saw. Brings her down to our old hangout. She likes to show her off. And when they're kissing in the corner, you better not criticize.
might get your ass whipped by the Texas City Dance. Well, don't you get on the wrong side of that Texas City Dance. Two things she likes doing, and one of them is fight. She'll do you in front of all your friends and spit red man in your eye. So don't you get on the wrong side of that Texas City dirt. Well, now me and the band, Sid and Jamie, Fat Bob, and his old lady, were shooting some pool when all hell broke loose at an ice house in Texas City. Well, that diesel dyke whipped Fat Bob's ass and spit red man in his eyes. And Fat Bob's old lady up and ran away with the Texas City dyke. Well, Fat Bob got his ass whipped by the Texas City dyke. Two things she likes doing, and one of them is fight. We heard her yell and laugh as she drove past with Bob's wife by her side. Don't you piss off a bitch in heat when it's the Texas City Dyke. Yeah, don't you piss off a bitch in heat when it's the Texas City Dyke. Yeah, don't you get on the wrong side.
He went away and you hung around and bothered me every night. And when I wouldn't go out with you, you said things that weren't very nice. My boyfriend's back, now you're gonna be in trouble.
Hello.
Cut out on the double.
Hela, hela, my boyfriend's back.
You've been spreading lies that I was untrue.
Hela, hela, my boyfriend's back.
Look out now, cause he's coming after you.
Hela, hela, my boyfriend's back. Hey, he knows what you've been trying, and he knows that you've been lying.
He's been gone for such a long time. Will be fine.
Hela, hela, my boyfriend's back.
You're gonna be sorry you were ever born.
Hela, hela, my boyfriend's
back. He's kinda big and he's awful strong.
Hela, hela, my boyfriend's back. Hey, he knows I wasn't cheating. Now you're gonna get a beat. What made you think you believe all your lies? Wahoo.
Gonna save my reputation.
Hela, hela, my boyfriend's back.
If I were you, I'd take a permanent vacation.
Hela, hela, my boyfriend's back. Hey, I can see him coming. Now you better start a running.
Gonna save my reputation.
Hela, hela, my boyfriend's back. Hela, my boyfriend's back
now.
Hela, my boyfriend's back.
What were you thinking? Cause you're gonna get
my boyfriend's
right now. Yeah, 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 yeah.
My boyfriend's back.
you're a woman. Oh, baby, what you done to me? You made me feel so good inside. And I just wanna be close to you. You know you make me feel so alive. You make me feel. You make me feel. You make me feel like a natural woman. Take today. Don't call me buddy. Don't call me your friend. Don't call me your brother. You won't see me again.
trade.
Sam Gonzalez from the Sharptown High School Broadcasting Program.
I'm Victoria Oluwole.
I'm Gloria Johnson.
I'm Darnell Anderson.
AFS is a worldwide nonprofit organization that has been leading international high school student exchange for more than 60 years.
Each year, AFS USA welcomes 2,500 international high school students who come to study in U.S. high schools and live with host families.
We are looking for families in the Houston area to become host families to students arriving in August.
To learn more about hosting for the 2011-2012 school year, visit afsusa.org/hostfamily.
This has been a public service announcement brought to you by the Broadcast Journalism Program at Sharptown High School.
This is KPFT Houston.
I'm Sam Gonzalez from the Sharptown High School Broadcasting Program. KPFT has just launched a new paperless system at kpft.org. Now, you can submit public service announcements, open journal proposals, and more through the station website, kpft.org. Going paperless is better for the environment and means your submissions arrive faster to KPFT offices. Do you have a nonprofit community event to promote? Do you have an idea for a program or want to host an open journal? Then visit kpft.org now to submit your application. While there, you can make a pledge online and support the great programming you love. This is 90.1 KPFT Houston.
You are listening to After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude, on listener-sponsored, commercial-free Pacifica Radio for the Gulf Coast, KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, 89.5 Galveston, 89.7 Huntsville, and always the World Wide Web at kpft.org. You can also find us on Facebook. It's facebook.com/AfterHoursKPFT. Join us. Drop Jimmy. I don't even remember where we're at with that. How many people? We've got a lot of roundtable stuff tonight, actually.
And no roundtablers.
I yelled out to them, but they're out doing whatever they do out there. Yeah, I got cutesy with some of the stuff I put up there with trying to use as many of the letters C's as possible. So,
let's see.
Push this button. I'm not going to click too many of them because it starts screwing up the computer going so slow.
You got at least one in the round table.
For those of you who have not heard, gonorrhea is back, and it's pissed.
Oh. No, I thought that was where it was flowing.
The clap has grown into a thunderous applause as the little STD that could has become an antibiotic-resistant superbug that's very difficult to kill.
Here we go again.
Fun! How bad is it? Let's ask lead researcher Magnus Unemo, professor of the Swedish Reference Laboratory for Pathogenic Neisseria in Orbro, Sweden. This is both an alarming and predictable discovery. Since antibiotics have come to the standard treatment for gonorrhea in the 40s, the bacterium has shown a remarkable capacity to develop resistant mechanisms to all drugs introduced to control it. This could hail gonorrhea's transition. And look who walks in when I talk gonorrhea.
Don't let him in the building.
Who could hail gonorrhea?
Lock up your pets and hide your children.
Transition from a treatable STD to a global public health risk threat. While it's still too early to assess the new strain has become widespread, the history of newly emergent resistant of bacterium suggests that it may spread rapidly unless new drugs and effective treatment programs are developed. But gonorrhea isn't really that bad, right? As if painful testicles, urethral pus, oral ulcers, anal itching, and burning vaginal discharge weren't enough. Sorry, were you eating? Untreated gonorrhea can also result in serious blood infection, sterility, chronic joint pain, and even blindness. This is supposedly going on right now in Japan, is where they're discovering this. So just keep an eye on that, for be careful on that issue. Gonna cut out on the rest of the QWERTY commentary.
Probably a good thing, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, you didn't want to hear the rest of it.
Follow up to a story coming out of Atlanta about the Atlanta Eagle raid. In 2009, Atlanta SWAT style cops and their vice squad, the now disbanded Red Dog team, raided the Atlanta Eagle gay bar without a warrant, handcuffed and forced about 62 innocent customers to lay face down on a floor covered with spilled beer, dirt, and broken glass, and then illegally searched and confiscated IDs from these men without initially making any charges or arrests. In the 2 years that followed, dancers originally charged with lewd conduct had the charges against them dropped. And the city begrudgingly paid out over $1 million in federal human rights lawsuit to abused patrons. And an internal investigation discovered that the involved officers lying and trying to destroy evidence. Well, finally, an investigative team of lawyers has said that at least 10 officers lied about the raid. The force has fired 6 of those officers, with more to come, possibly. The only downside, the owner of the bar, who lost his house and suffered financial loss due to the raid, has gotten jack squat in terms of recompensation.
Well, that's a load of crap.
And the officers weren't fired because of their behavior during the raid, but because of their actions during the investigation. So, raiding a gay bar and treating its innocent patrons like totally is okay. Lying about it, sort of bad.
Yeah, you think?
Let's see. Let's go to this other little police story here. I thought this was a cutesy little one. Now I'm about to do a story about a bathhouse, and look who walks in.
Again, I reiterate, who There's opened the door for that one?
There's an unfortunate correlation.
Again.
Yeah, he's got to start taking notes on this one. Man claims he was drugged and forced to pay for sex at a Capitol Hill men's club. And Seattle police are investigating a men's allegation that a worker at the 10th Avenue Bathhouse Tribe Seattle robbed him and forced him to swallow meth and performing a sex act for which the suspect demanded payment. The man told police that he went to Tribe, you may also know it as Basic Plumbing.
Just kind of writes itself, doesn't it?
This is actually a legitimate newspaper, I believe. Guys, community newspaper.
News of the World? No.
Hey, if you can't handle their news, if you can't hack their news, then
find another place. Don't hack on them.
Couldn't hack it as journalists. But anyway.
No, the journalists are hacks.
He went there on Saturday night, July 2nd, and after he visited another nearby club and left because, quote, it appeared dirty and its clientele seemed shady. Unquote. Another patron recommended the 10th Avenue Club, the man said. Seattle police said the man told officers he went to the club because he was lonely and, quote, stated he was aware that these private clubs were basically locations where gay people have sex and do drugs, unquote. Inside, the man told police he socialized for about 4 hours, was feeling buzzed, but still felt in control of his faculties when he met a, quote, cute man who said the victim said was a staff member. The suspect invited him upstairs to party in one of the rented rooms available at the club, the victim told police. Upstairs, the suspect had more meth than the victim said he had ever seen before. The man told police that he and the suspect were doing drugs when suddenly he was grabbed and forced down on the bed. Do we have any music we can go with this here?
Right. Brown chicken, brown cow, what?
I just don't believe him. I can't believe that story.
The man said the suspect dropped a small amount of meth known as a gut ball into his mouth and forced him to drink a liquid. Take this, it will relax and calm you, he said. Do this in memory of me. Oh, sorry. Do this so you won't remember me.
Boy flashbacks, what?
The suspect allegedly said he had held the man down on the bed. The man told the police immediately he began feeling the effects of the drugs, saying he was disoriented and no longer had physical control of his person, his aware, or his surroundings. The man told Seattle police the suspect told him if he didn't have sex with members without request or agreement of fee, that he didn't have sex with members without request or arrangement of fee, and proceeded to do a striptease-type act, then to masturbate in front of the drugged man. Once he finished, the suspect demanded payment for the sex and drugs, the man told police. When the man said he would only pay for the drugs, the suspect allegedly fished his Visa from his wallet, complete with a new card's handily attached PIN number, and left the room.
You know,
this just, something's not adding up here.
There's a whole bunch of things not adding up here.
Yes.
Because at the beginning of the story, the taking the money from the wallet came first in the order of what you said.
Yeah.
Now, how was he supposed to take more money out of the wallet if he'd already taken them, if the dude who drugged him...
Yeah, but it's, you know...
Just wondering.
And the idiot has his PIN number written on his Visa card.
And yeah, well, that's always a brain trust move.
Really?
The man said second spa. The second private club.
Yeah. Yeah. The suspect returned 20 minutes later and told him he had taken money from the account for what was owed, but he gave the guy a discount for the show.
A discount? Really?
Yeah.
You really shouldn't say stuff like that when I'm drinking.
How magnanimous.
Mountain Dew, by the way. Mountain Dew.
The man said he eventually made his way back to the front desk where he voluntarily handed over the card to pay for more time in the room where he passed out and awoke Sunday morning. The man said he met a good Samaritan inside the club who gave him a ride home.
After he'd been taken for a ride.
The man told police he didn't get his card back from his last visit to the front desk, and his bank record showed that 6 withdrawals were made on the card for a total of $1,200. He also lost his Gucci watch in the night's activities.
I'm afraid to even ask where that ended up, but okay.
And this is where I paraphrase Sir John Gielgud. You, sir, are an idiot.
Lock up your valuables in that little bitty case that they give you when you walk into the club.
The following Wednesday, the man returned to the club and decided to contact the police. According to the report on the incident, the man identified as one of the club owners who said he was aware of the man's allegations but was not there the night of the incident.
Please, Casey Anthony waited 25 days to tell people her kid was missing. You know, a weekend doesn't really surprise me.
The owner confirmed the suspect was a new employee of the club. No arrests were made. The report goes on to say the victim told police, quote, he realizes he is an adult and accountable for all his decision-making, right or wrong. He felt he was assaulted and property stolen from him due to the suspect forcing drugs into his system. At this point, the newspaper is not aware of any arrests made in relationship to this case. We'll follow up when we learn more about the continuing investigation.
I would have thought ingesting crystal meth would have been lethal or not.
Okay, I would say that this whole article brings up a whole lot of red flags, but
yes.
I'm going to retract that and say this whole article raises bright neon pink Jimmy flags.
Now, here's the part that I do.
Red hankies?
The part that I like about this is...
banners, flags, hankies.
You know.
All the same.
This is a community newspaper article I'm reading this off of, and... The only graphic they have that's related to this story is a Google map showing you where to get to this bathhouse. So, if you've got a credit card and your PIN number written on it and a Gucci watch...
By all means.
Please, come on in.
Come in.
View the entire map and...
Does it give you transit directions, too?
Actually, is there a bus stop near the front
right?
door?
I'm going to Google Views, and there's a guy walking out without a watch in the
Oh, God.
Oh, gee whiz. Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
Next time, get off at station 9 3/4.
Right?
It'll be a much more fun trip.
Another follow-up story here. Nikki Araguz, the Texas trans widow who battled in court for her deceased firefighter's husband's death benefits. Last we heard, Nikki's mom wrote a passionate letter urging the judge to find Nikki's marriage to the deceased firefighter valid. Then Nikki got arrested for a felony theft charge for allegedly stealing a $2,850 Rolex watch.
Oh, it wasn't Gucci. Mm-hmm.
No. Now Nikki's back in court appealing the original judge's ruling, which voided her marriage and denied her widow benefits.
Oh, because that's going to look so good.
Yeah, really.
Well, this time she's heading down to the Texas 13th District Court of Appeals in Corpus Christi, which is said to be a, quote, democratic stronghold. where judges may view her history and hardships with more sensitivity. She's also teamed up with a law firm that successfully argued Lawrence v. Texas. One tip of advice, though, Nikki, we know if you're shooting, it's been a long day.
Yes, it is.
One tip of advice, though, Nikki, we know you're shooting your own reality show based on the court proceedings, but leave the camera crews at home. Mm-hmm. How about someone who didn't?
You know, even Democrats know when they're...
Right?
So you got through this.
Even Democrats know when somebody's full of it.
Just clicking on a few things.
Because
the
criminal record looks so good on it.
Oh, yeah.
This story's actually got a lot of traction on it. It's an undercover sting that was done on Michelle Bachmann's husband's clinic.
Yeah, the one that's been all over the news everywhere.
Yeah,
I haven't heard this one.
First of all, I gotta say, he's kind of cute, the guy they sent in.
Yeah, they have. Oh, her hubby has a ex-gay clinic thing going on.
And he receives Medicaid dollars to do this.
Dollars to do this.
Wow.
Is it like her children that she didn't have?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, the 23 foster children that she has, quote-unquote, raised, and some of those were just a placement with her for 2 or 3 days.
Yeah, you don't...
Before the baby said, bitch, I'm out of here, because you're nuts.
Unless they're the Okampi from one of the Star Trek shows, 3 or 4 days is not a lifetime.
No, but...
Okay. And there's other controversy with Bachmann, the fact that the family farm that he owns gets farm subsidies, which is kind of a Tea Party no-no.
Yes.
But a reporter with Truth Wins Out, John M. Becker, just came home with 8 days of Marcus Bachmann's ex-gay therapy clinic. A changed man? Not so much. By the way,
his wallet might be a little bit lighter.
This is QWERTY. Well, you know, I don't think he was charged $1,200 for lost a Gucci watch.
This thing's made traction on, like,
Nightline,
Anderson Cooper. Just, oh, my God.
And, you know, a lot of them have, and some of the conservatives have carried it because they're just going after her because she loves the Lord and her husband, you know, he's doing the Lord's work and just they're going after him.
I have no problems with God.
Doing the Lord's work and getting federal money for it?
Becker, in an effort to expose Bachmann and associates, left his home in Vermont and flew to the Twin Cities with a covert operation to get ex-gayified at the now-famous reparative therapy clinic of Marcus Bachmann.
Isn't there a commandment about lying?
Yeah, one about stealing, too.
Or stealing.
Before Becker's first consultation with a new therapist, Dr. Wurtzema, he had to do some serious mindster prep to get him ready for the part. Number one, remove credit card with the HRC logo from his wallet. Number two, delete photo of his husband from the phone's background.
Wow.
Three, remove wedding ring.
Four. I know the perfect song for this. Straightening up the house? Yeah. Anyway,
four, right. Take a hard look in the mirror and harken back to those 16-year-old self-hating days. And hide a camera in a man bag. Which this is on here, the footage which out surfaced, but I think they've shown some of that. He's actually showing off the bag and how he hid it.
Yeah, I saw that on TV.
The story of Becker's 8-day ex-gay therapy at Bachmann and Associates is fascinating. Through Becker's report, it sounds mostly like 8 days of verbal and emotional therapy and none of that terrifying shock treatment or physically abusive stuff that we've seen before. The therapy involved finding a cause of his homosexuality, focusing on the beauty of women, and affirming his masculinity. Didn't I see that on But I'm a Cheerleader?
Yeah.
Something similar, I'm sure.
He writes, I pretended just to have told my brother that I was seeking counseling to help me deal with homosexuality. My brother's fictitious response was, I should just come out, because a person can be happy and gay and still go to heaven. My therapist said that my brother, quote, didn't choose his words wisely.
Wow.
Okay.
This sounded incredibly wise to me.
Becker is apt to note that during his time served, he was, quote, never told that every professional medical and mental association rejects ex-gay therapy. or that the treatment I was seeking was totally unsupported by research. I was never informed of the possible alternative treatment options, such as gay affirmation therapy. No one ever told me about the potential for harmful side effects like depression and suicidal thoughts.
Mm. That's usually in the fine print.
You know, I found a way to deal with my homosexuality. 1989, 4th of July. His name was Scott.
Oh, really? Do we need to cue the background music for that?
No. It wasn't all that exciting. He was kind of drunk and bore a striking resemblance to the guy, to the director of The Lord of the Rings.
No.
Before he lost any of the weight. He was a kind of big guy. He was cute.
Anyway.
Curly hair.
Pop on pop. You know.
But that's how I dealt with being a homosexual.
By getting right into it.
Yeah, huh?
he therefore reports that their practice was unethical, which is particularly disconcerting given the fact that Marcus Botkin's clinic has received significant funding from the state of Minnesota and federal funding.
Well, I understand that the government of Minnesota is shut down currently, and so that's... Yeah.
Actually, they're about ready to... They've struck a deal. I'll tell you why in a second. Let me finish this. Becker has some cojones. We are anxious to hear if there will be any response from Bachman Associates or what Truth Wins Out plans to do with the video footage and allegations of his unethical practice. What a fun story. Truth Wins Out gets a major high five from Queerty for this one. Keep it coming, gents.
It's Minnesota.
Yeah.
Anyhow.
Minnesota.
No, I was just... that other thing, Minnesota.
Trying to remember if it was Minnesota or Wisconsin.
Minnesota is the one that got shut down.
Yeah, okay. Minnesota. Well, they're actually going to be. That's right. Wisconsin was the other governor. Yeah, actually, they're going to be. They're working on a deal to lift the shutdown because they're running out of beer.
And cigarettes.
No, seriously.
Wow, this is too easy.
What?
Okay.
Yeah.
They are about ready. If they don't get things done quickly, all Coors products will have to be pulled from the shelves in Minnesota. If they don't do anything by beginning of September, all Budweiser products will have to be pulled from the shelves.
Why?
They have a brand license you have to get in that state. And Coors did not get theirs done in time. And so their license has expired to offer their brand in the state. And so they were going to lose that. The Budweiser's is expiring. A lot of bars, their alcohol licenses were expiring, so they were not going to be able to sell alcohol. Tobacco licenses were going up. So basically, you're going to have a bunch of people, you know, it's bad enough they're not going to get their
government. A bunch of raging alcoholics in a very pissy
going
mood.
Through withdrawal.
Going through withdrawal. It's going to be pissy. It's not going to be
cute.
Because,
you know, ice fishing season's coming up, and...
Yeah.
You know, so. You got to have your beer and cigarettes when you're out in the ice there, you know?
And so something that was, to do yeah, while that, when that story broke, that it was right like the next day that they said, you know, the governor is going to just give in to the Republicans and, you know, fine, do whatever you want, but don't. We can't do it without our beer.
Oh, God.
Let's see.
I wonder what we have to take away from them to get the Republicans and the Democrats in Congress to.
Their pages. What the hell?
Yeah, hello.
I tried clicking on this one.
Their pages and their credit cards.
Where the hell's the X? Oh, there.
Wow. Not.
Oh, hello.
Screen not far enough away from you these days?
The.
I understand that.
Where the hell did this come from?
What is it? Pop-up ad?
Yeah, it has a pop-up ad that came up with this thing. Oh, okay, this is an AT&T commercial. That's why AT&T thing. Close the damn advertisement and get me to the polygamist.
Now, there's a phrase you don't hear every day.
Right?
Yeah.
I'm waiting for gay polygamy to take off.
Mm.
The when right. Lawrence v. Texas was decided, a lot of the Christianistas and that...
just, I love that.
Came up, you know, we're saying, you know, this is going, you know, gay marriage is going to lead to gay marriage. It's going to lead to polygamy. It's going to lead to man on dog marriage. Enough about the French kissing for dogs video on YouTube. But one of their predictions is coming to fruition. Ooh. Cody Brown is a proud polygamist and a relatively famous one. Now, Mr. Brown, his 4 wives and 16 children and stepchildren are going to court to keep from being punished for it. The family is the focus of a reality TV show, Sister Wives, yes. that first appeared in 2010. Law enforcement officials in the Browns' home state of Utah announced that soon after the show began, the family was under investigation for violating a state law prohibiting polygamy. On Wednesday, the Browns are expected to file a lawsuit to challenge the polygamy law. The lawsuit is not demanding the states recognize polygamous marriage. Instead, the lawsuit builds on the 2003 United States Supreme Court decision, Lawrence v. Texas, which struck down state sodomy laws as unconstitutional intrusions on, quote, the intimate conduct, unquote, of consenting adults. It asks the federal courts to tell states they cannot punish polygamists for their own, quote, intimate conduct, unquote, so long as they are not breaking other laws like those regarding child abuse, incest, or seeking multiple marriage license.
Well, you know, I almost actually buy that.
Almost.
Mr. Brown has a civil marriage with only one of his wives. The rest are, quote, sister wives, not formally wedded. The Browns are members of the Apostolic United Brethren Church, a fundamentalist offshoot of the Mormon Church, which gave up polygamy around 1890 as Utah was seeking statehood. Making polygamous unions illegal, they argue, violates the Due Process and Equal Protection Clauses of the 14th Amendment, as well as the Free Exercise, Establishment, Free Speech, and Freedom of Association Clauses of the First Amendment.
So, if he's not married to the other ones, is that considered fornication?
Well, if adultery is on the books as a law,
I
wonder how old that man is, because you know, I really don't care if somebody has 16 wives, 24 husbands. I don't care. I'm just sort of like, does this person want to live to see their 50s? Because I could see their body wearing out right about, you know, before they ever make it to 50. I'm just saying.
I really don't care. I really don't understand why people get so crazy about other family styles besides the nuclear family. It really blows my mind.
We have so few nuclear families anymore to start with.
Yes.
Or what we have traditionally called the nuclear family.
Yeah.
I just, you know, I think people need to stay out of it. It's like, I don't care if they're all being, I hate to use the word monogamous to describe this. When you got 4.
Well, polyamorous.
But, I mean, you know, polyamorous monogamy, whatever that is, I don't know. Whatever you want to call it. I don't care. I just don't care.
That many.
You need to turn your mic on. Oh. He turned it off when he stepped away.
If you can deal with that many women in the kitchen, then hey, go for it.
You know that old saying about too many cooks?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, you
it's
know.
It's a wonder the knives don't come out then and not on the
That's
food.
Not all that's getting spoiled, but anyway.
Hi,
Robbie.
I find it difficult to care how many wives or husbands. As long as they're being nice with each other and nobody's getting hurt.
It's not my business.
You know, I don't care.
Trying to see if I can find something of his age. Not seeing anything come up on.
Well, where the frell have you been?
Whoops.
Oh, this is interesting, you know.
Party. Oh, boy.
But yeah, the court case is going to be called younger. Brown versus Herbert. For those of you Family Guy fans, you'll understand the joke.
Okay.
Once again, sometimes it writes itself.
Yes
it does.
Get
and,
my
on, and on our roundtable segment, more often than not.
Yeah. Really?
No, I'm not seeing anything on how.
How old do you think he is? You're looking good as ever. And why does it matter?
Yeah, I was just. He asked a question, you know.
Oh.
Give me something to research, you know, like he was asking before about a gay midget group. Mm-hmm. I'm still trying to find the Under the Rainbow Society for you.
Oh. I was just wondering. I mean, you know.
Are you serious?
I...
About that title?
No, I just made that one.
Oh, okay.
No, that was, however, the name of a movie involving many midgets.
Oh.
Little people.
Or I was thinking...
Under the Rainbow?
Yes.
Under the Rainbow or, early, you know, the Real Friends of Dorothy.
Oh, Real Friends of Dorothy.
Okay.
I didn't know about that.
Well,
until a
we know
year
you're
ago.
Not short on the jokes there, but
it.
The lesbian group is called the Lollipop Lesbian Guild.
Yeah. Well, at least they didn't have to kneel.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. What's this one?
Let's. Yeah, let's go into the death part here.
Okay.
This one is just a little more kinkster.
Well, okay. First of all, the name itself. The guy's name.
Mazzola?
Mazzola.
Mazzola? Wow.
There was no corn goodness.
I'm afraid to ask what he's using the corn oil for, but okay.
Just in case anybody hasn't heard of Mazzola corn oil, because they barely talk about it these days.
Yes.
Though Columbia Township.
Evil corporation.
Columbia Township, Ohio. Investigators believe exotic animal owner Sam Mazzola's death was an accidental result of consensual sexual act, according to Chief Deputy Lorain County Coroner Dr. Frank Miller.
Oh, this is going to hurt.
Yeah.
That's what she said.
Suicide and homicide have both been ruled out in the death of Mazzola, 49, who was found dead in his home July 10th, according to Sheriff's Detective Mike Lopez. Mazzola was found face down on his waterbed by a teenage co-worker. Mazzola was reportedly the foreman of a fencing company that worked with the teen. Lopez said investigators searching phone and computer records conditioned security footage at Mazzola's Marks Road property in order to get a time frame for Mazzola's death and make sure everything matches what they've been told. So far, nothing suspicious has been found. The cause of death has been listed as asphyxiation due to airway obstruction by a foreign body. According to Milner, in other words, Mazzola choked to death. Mazzola had an object in his throat which obstructed his airway, Miller said. He was also wearing a leather...
the look on Jimmy's face. Anyhow.
He was also wearing a leather mask with the eyes and mouth zipped shut and a two-piece metal sphere covering his head. He was handcuffed to chains that were attached to the bed and the floor. Nice. He had done this by request, according to the story we were given. There was an assistant, but that is under investigation. According to Miller, there was someone else at the home who helped Mazzola complete these acts, but had left before he died. It was an unattended death. No one has been charged in the death, and Lopez says he expects to close the case by the end of the week. Mazzola has been a controversial figure for years due to his ownership in exhibitions of wild animals. A woman was mauled to death at his home by a black bear.
Oh, gee whiz.
Mm.
The way this was listed on the Daily Rotten...
Plenty of people have been mauled by bears.
Usually over at Tony's.
Yeah. Pretty much.
But the story on this was a bear keeper finds peace in bondage.
So he choked to death on a dildo?
That's what one report was.
Or did he swallow the ball gag?
Okay.
I don't know if he swallowed something. They said it was a sex toy.
Take it away.
How?
That's Merlin, by the way.
Didn't they say the thing was zipped shut?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So basically, it was inserted first, then the mask was put on.
Okay, so they found something in his
throat
at the time. Okay.
Yes.
All right.
Okay.
I was sort of missing that.
I guess whoever was helping him didn't hear the safe word.
Well, right. How can you say one when...
You turn
okay.
Number one up
safe
there,
word?
Please.
Really? It's not a safe word.
Sure it is.
It's not a safe word.
Next little story of carnage that I have on here.
Religious theme.
Well, it was a lot of sea themes. 27-year-old Patrick Lucas Moses is headed to jail for a long, long time. Moses, a religious fanatic and leader of a North Carolina cult-like group, is facing the death penalty after murdering two while the Lord's Prayer played over the stereo in Hebrew. 4-year-old Jaden Higginbotham was shot to death and zipped up in a suitcase to decompose because Moses suspected the child may be gay.
I heard about this.
Yeah. Astronaut Yvonne McCoy, 28, met a similar fate because she was unable to get pregnant with Moses' child. McCoy had been strangled, beaten, and tortured by Moses and his other, quote, common law wives, unquote, in the days leading up to her murder. She managed to escape the home where she was held prisoner and begged a neighbor to please call for help, but was refused as the neighbor believed the woman was to be mentally ill. McCoy was dragged back to the home by Moses and eventually shot to death in the bathroom.
Oh, my God.
You know, so this Moses really was a basket case.
Yeah.
Higginbotham's story is no less deranged. Concerned that the child may be homosexual because he had, quote, hit another child's bottom, unquote.
What?
Moses, don't they do that in baseball?
Yeah. Well, Moses ordered his mother,
kids, they don't know any better.
Vinaya Ray Sisk, 25, to, quote, get rid of the boy. Days later, when the 4-year-old was still around, Moses brought him into the garage, put the Lord's Prayer on full blast in the stereo, and then murdered the boy.
In Hebrew.
Oh, sweet Jesus.
Okay.
God.
Where? I don't. Christianity is about peace and love.
Yes.
Murder and hate are not part of it.
Right.
Well, they did say it was a cult-like group.
Here, now, this what I've been reading has been the Unicorn Booty commentary on it. Here's an excerpt from a news article on it. The group threw a party a few days later, prosecutors recalling the witnesses saying, and Moses showed McCoy's body to several relatives, including his mother, Sheila Evans Harris, and his brother and his sister. McCoy's body was also kept in the house for some time, taped up inside of black garbage bags and placed in a garbage bin, prosecutors said the police told him. After Jaden and McCoy's bodies were buried in the backyard of the house where Moses' mother lived until earlier this year, prosecutors say. Plumbers led police to discover the remains in June.
Oh,
prosecutors say they found a .22 caliber shell casing and a projectile in the blood in the garage in the master bathroom of the Pear Tree Lane home. They also found a gun on the roof of a townhouse where the group moved to in February.
Okay.
Oh, that is so sick.
Yeah, there's a well-known joke in among that most Christians would understand that ends, you know, what do you want? I sent you two boats and a helicopter.
Yeah.
Sometimes I think God needs to get a little more hands-on with some of his people.
Oh, my God.
Oh, don't worry. He will.
You know, lightning bolts.
That's getting, all right. Karma's a bitch. She
somebody really needs to get a hold of this person and show him and just show him what an owl is like. You know, twist, twist,
yeah.
Twist.
Oh, God. Having a party to show the bodies?
There's not going to be a punishment just enough for him.
For all of them.
All of them.
That's insane.
What kind of people?
Oof.
View a dead body and don't go to the police.
I know.
And they
all have that child's blood on their hands.
And to kill a 4-year-old because.
A 4-year-old. Four.
Child that doesn't know right from wrong or know any better, doesn't know what homosexuality is.
It doesn't matter how old you are. You have no right to murder anyone.
No. Of course, when I was 4 years old.
Here we go.
Before was roamed the planet.
When I was just a little
I was performing fellatio.
Jimmy was on his knees for Lola. Lola.
I have fellatio for the other 4-year-old boy down the street.
Wow.
How did I know to do that? It was just natural.
They had streets back then?
Yes, they did.
They had paved roads?
They weren't cobblestone.
Hey, there are still cobblestone streets in our neighborhood.
Right?
I got your cobblestones right here.
Have you seen their street next to Katz's? Please.
Yeah, brick.
They did it on purpose, though.
Brick, yeah. I love it.
Well, I mean,
sure slows you down. Next.
Mind-numbing.
Please, next.
Yes,
I can't.
Please, new stories.
Yes, please.
Please tell me there's something more cheerful in the universe.
Well, they're trying to put singer Ari Gold as the next Rosa Parks.
What?
Singer Ari Gold told the Village Voice's Michael Mostow that a short-line bus driver instructed him to move to the back of the bus for holding hands with another man because it was, quote, making him uncomfortable.
Oh.
The driver told us if we wanted to continue sitting together, we had to sit in the back. The driver apparently called for a state trooper who saw nothing wrong with what Gold and his hand-holding friend were doing. Gold and I made an announcement to the other passengers explaining that they had been pulled over to wait for a state trooper because he was holding hands with a man. Gold said he'll be filing charges, but writes this update on his Facebook page. I haven't reached anyone from Shortline yet. I will call Lambda Legal and see if there's any action to take, or at least make sure that Shortline gives better employee training. I stood up to the driver despite my racing heart, and I can only imagine what that might have done to someone who couldn't.
Statement made by Shortline.
Gee whiz.
Goes, Mr. Musto, I wanted to get back to you regarding the incident on one of our Shortline buses. I happened to be on vacation this week, but I saw your email and wanted to make sure you got a response. I am the president of Hudson Transit Lines, which is a company known as Shortline. I want to assure you and your readers that we do not condone or endorse the actions taken by this one driver. His actions are not representative of the management of our company. We will continue to investigate this incident until we are sure we have all the facts, at which time we will take the appropriate disciplinary and remedial action. We apologize for the insensitive action of our driver, and we can assure you we will take the necessary steps to make sure this does not happen again.
Make him unemployed.
Although you folks might not have heard of Ari Gold, he is incredibly popular in the New York area.
And not hard to look at.
Right. Mm. I bought the book, remember?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, I was there for that, wasn't
I? Yeah, you were.
Yes. Oh, my God, you should have seen the look on his face.
Yes.
Yeah.
Was he drooling uncontrollably?
Yeah, I was like...
There's no nude pictures. But he has a beautiful body, and it's gorgeous.
I don't know how much this picture is Photoshop, but it's...
It's like, Jimmy, Jewel, after you've paid for the book.
you can swim in those pool,
absolutely.
Blue pool eyes.
Yeah, those eyes are incredible.
Yeah.
I gotta get some more of his music. We gotta start playing him.
You know, Shortline... That just leads me to think that they might ought to put that driver on the short bus.
Yeah, really.
Somewhere.
The short bus to the unemployment office.
Next.
Meet the half-male, half-female Mormon butterfly that's taking London by storm.
Huh?
Mormon?
Forget trans goats and female horses with male testicles. The hottest intersex animal in London's Natural History Museum is the great Mormon butterfly.
Notice it was the other thing, not the Mormon...
Right.
Yeah, not the butterfly part. That was
its left half is male, its right half is female.
Oh, my God, yes.
With male and female reproductive organs fused right down the middle.
Oh, wow.
The Guardian newspaper, a British newspaper that's still running.
One of the ones that's not...
That hasn't been brought down by scandal.
Explains the insect, which has a 10-centimeter wingspan, is almost black on the male side, but the female side is much paler, with clearly visible flecks of blue, red, and tortoise shell.
Kind of like yin and yang.
It's an amazing butterfly. It's split. It's purely bilateral. Even the color of one side of its body is slightly different, said Luke Brown, the manager of the museum's Sensational Butterflies exhibit. You have an intersex butterfly that's in your Sensational Butterflies exhibit. It's half male, half female sex organs welded together, so they don't work. It is infertile.
Oh, poor baby.
So how does it reproduce?
It doesn't.
Insects can be born gynandromorphs with both male and female cells.
Okay.
When sex chromosomes fail to properly separate when the fertilized egg divides. Around 1 in 10,000 butterflies is a gonadromorph. Many dual-sex butterflies probably go unnoticed because the males and females look alike.
Hmm.
Brown has only ever seen two other... you know what the hell the word is in his career. The butterfly was flying and feeding well and expected to have a normal life expectancy of around 1 month.
Take a lot of pictures.
Yeah, really. Now.
The specimen will become part of the museum's Lepidopetra collection. Damn Brits, it's bad enough you put U's in the middle of all your damn words. Now you gotta give me all these
Latin. Now he's gotta give them Latin.
They're gonna take straight pins and put it in a frame.
Yes.
In case the thing in Lucite, you know.
2008, a half male, half female moth emerged at the museum. The insect had one bright yellow wing and the other one that looked brown and dusty. Crabs and lobsters can also be gonadromorphs. Of course, other intersex animals exist as well as humans. Drawing attention to these other creatures help us appreciate and understand human intersexuality as well.
Mm, that was cool.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Sounds kind of pretty.
Yes.
Now, a little bit of controversy. We've talked before about the FCK hate campaign.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
which burst on the scene with doing prop hate, and they're known for dropping the F-bomb.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Repeatedly in their advertisements.
Yes.
Well.
Now, they've taken on, it's basically a fundraising type campaign for different campaigns. They've done one for Tennessee Don't Say Gay, trying to defeat that. Mm-hmm. They've just came out one for gay marriage because Minnesota is going to put a gay marriage amendment on the ballot.
Once they get back to the business.
Ballots and amendments.
So, this is from Unicorn Booty that had a question about this.
Unicorn Booty.com.
FCK Hate, we love you. We really do. You provide us with classic blog headline fodder like FCK Hates FCK, the FCKing Don't Say Gay Bill. Big prop, really.
Wow.
I whatever awards I got for radio, I should be able to get one for that.
Just you betcha.
Getting through that.
Woo! You are just, wow. You know, it's like the tightrope artist.
Yeah.
And you're right up there.
And the latest Neon Masterpiece starts off so well. We were with you on valid sensational points, like hanging with black people makes you blacker.
What?
Well, you know, maybe I need to, maybe the best thing to do is, I may need to pull it up. The there's an edited version that they play. But the reason, the part of what they have on here is, well, the argument about hanging with black people, because they say one of the arguments against gay marriage is because if you hang out with gay people, it makes you gay.
Oh.
And so they say, well, yeah, just like hanging out with black people makes you blacker. Well, the problem they have with it is at the very end, shows two, as the Unicorn Booty arc has it, 12-year-old boys smooching at the end of the last video. It's not that 12-year-olds aren't gay. I was. It's not that 12-year-olds don't kiss each other. Other 12-year-olds, they do. But what is that? It's just that the shot is obviously polarizing, and, well, it's creepy to watch kids kiss, even in a commercial. I think they looked a little younger than 12.
Ooh. I actually watched that, and it was more of a quick peck than it was a kiss.
It feels creepy for me as a grown-ass gay man to watch kids kiss. It feels creepy to post video of children kissing on my company's website. I understand the point is to ruffle feathers, but to some of the top gay bloggers in the world are creeped out by your message or method in this case, you're ruffling the wrong feathers.
Well, you know, it's not like it's some 40-year-old guy kissing a 12-year-old.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
But, you know, it's...
Kindergarten. They kiss each other all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it's one of those things that it's... let's see.
Well, you know, the F-Hate campaign is like the new ACT UP.
Right.
So they're going for that shock value.
The shock value, yes.
And one of the parts that...
although I don't think they're up to the antics that ACT UP.
And ACT UP. I don't know.
Hey, you know, ACT UP and Queer Nation had their time and were important in their time.
Yes, and then they did what they wanted to do.
And even people within the community may not have always, you know, agreed with their methods, but at the time, that was how some people felt they needed to react.
And part of what this story with what their campaign is, the fact is, they are raising money. What they do is they sell T-shirts and products in here that have some various slogans that this campaign uses. And what they're doing with this here is the money they're raising from this. If you like their video on Facebook or tweet the link to it and it gets back to them, they find out how many they do, they're going to give 10 cents to the campaign, up to $10,000. To help defeat this referendum.
Oh wow!
So
that is actually going to a good cause.
Yes, that's one of the things they do about this. So let's see, this is queuing up enough here, so maybe I can back up and start this. You got the button here. So this is the edited version. You can find it on YouTube at FCKH numeral 8. So this is the wussified bleeped version.
Yo, have you heard about that f***ing awesome upcoming vote?
To change the Minnesota Constitution and ban marriage for those f***ing
homos?
The queers want to get married?
Marriage needs to be protected. And studies show letting those f***ing homos
get hitched
will only cause more straight people
to get divorced.
The top five reasons
to ban gay marriage.
Reason one.
Homosexuality is completely
f***ing with the laws of nature.
Just like antibiotics.
Popcorn.
And homosexuals are
both. Wow.
And
nice.
Besides, those gays f***ing choose to be that way.
The same way straight people
choose to be straight.
Breathe and tell.
My church doesn't believe in gay marriage.
And this is America.
My church makes the laws.
Homos are f***ing abominations.
The Bible tells me so. It also tells me it's okay. Okay. To sell my daughter into slavery.
And to stone people.
That work on Sunday. So it's great for making laws.
Read the three.
Homo marriages
are not real marriages. Hello, because
and scissoring.
Having babies. Just like it's against the law for those
menopause chicks. To get legally married.
Aw, can't make babies. Can't get married. That's the law.
Yo, read the four. Gay marriage will only let the gays recruit more people to go homo, homo.
The same as how hanging around black people makes you blacker.
Ew, what's up, homie?
Gayness is super f***ing contagious. Just like being left-handed. Don't let them touch you.
Number five, bitches.
It's f***ed up. Gay couples adopt kids.
Abandon my straight people.
Kids need male and female role models.
Which is why if you're single,
it's against the law for you to raise children.
Better to be an orphan orphan than have two mommies.
So hold the f*** up.
Don't be hating on the homos.
You got a problem with gay marriage?
You! You want a cock block a loving couple?
Out of 1,700 legal marriage rights.
Just because they both have cocks? I'm gay.
I'm straight.
And we're standing together to
f***ing join the fight for equal marriage rights.
Yo, every time this video is liked on Facebook
or tweeted on the Twitter.
Twitter!
Kate.com will give 10 cents up to
$10,000.
$10,000!
To the fight for equality
in Minnesota! We've raised
over $250,000 through t-shirt sales.
Hey. Standard 80s techno dancing.
Get your gear, get involved.
Dudes marry dudes.
Chicks marry chicks.
Don't be hating on the homos.
Straight against hate.
That's so gay.
Born this way.
You like it with some bling?
Do goody in a hoodie. Stick it to them.
Push some buttons.
Is that Depeche?
Show them your
the
point of view. And no. Band together.
This is generic music.
Yo, get gay for the cause at Kate.com.
We ship t-shirts
around the world.
Por todo el mundo.
Oh my god, I'm tons f***ing Facebooking this. If I grew up gay, I want to get married someday.
I actually have an F8 t-shirt.
Now, those last two voices were the two quote-unquote 12-year-olds. Mm-hmm.
That was really quick.
Really quick, yeah.
That's funny.
That's brilliant.
That's absolutely effing brilliant.
It is frelling brilliant, yes.
Frelling brilliant.
Like I said, you can do a search for F-C-K-H and the numeral 8, and you can see their videos. And like I said, they every one of the videos, they do a bleeped version, and they do a unbleeped version for that. And so, yes, we had to play the
Wisified. Well, that bleeped version is barely bleeped.
Just barely, yeah.
Yeah.
So
you certainly get the point.
Well, at least we didn't play the many uses of the F word, like...
And that's not
okay. I originally wasn't going to play the video, but I figured out why not.
Yeah. Okay.
Ernesto left the building, so hey.
Yes.
Yes, passed by right by me as we were as I was doing a reading.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, the teaser.
Oh yes, we were discussing this earlier.
That we
I missed this.
Yeah, I left the title.
Yeah, Joe, my God. Called this one today in freaky Catholic news.
Oh, I have a feeling I'm gonna love this.
Trying to find the good one. The one article I was trying to get to, it was having trouble accessing it earlier today. Apparently, a lot of other people have been hitting it. Okay, we'll use this one.
Oh my god. What's the matter, Jimmy?
I just saw the title.
Come on. This has
accused
been
of being gay, a Spanish priest challenges the church to measure his anus. With no apparent evidence other than a photograph of Spanish priest Andres Garcia Torres hugging a young Cuban seminarian, the Catholic Bishop of Getafe has leapt to the outrageous conclusion that there's something gay about the two topless men in a warm embrace. According to a report, the bishop now wants the priest to abandon his parish in the Madrid dormitory town of Fuenlabrada, undergo a psychiatric cure...
What?
...and take an HIV test.
Oh, my God.
Oh, gee whiz.
Torres responded by saying he intends to go to Rome and show that he's being expelled from his parish unfairly. The priest who insists that he and the 28-year-old with whom he was photographed on a trip to Fatima are just good friends, and threw down this challenge. Quote, let them measure my anus and see if it is dilated.
What?
Well, obviously he's the top.
Wow. Okay.
And if you saw the picture, you'd realize that.
And his mother has not stopped crying over what has happened. Locals say the priest is a very humane person dedicated to helping others. More than 1,000 signatures have been gathered in his support. The reason why they say his mother hasn't stopped crying is if you go to the Huffington Post, they have the video of him being interviewed on Spanish television and his mother's in the background fanning herself. I did it.
Oh, my God. That poor woman.
He was separated from his Catholic Church. A photo surfaced of him shirtless with his arm around another man. Now the priest is offering to go to the extreme measures to prove he's not gay. I told him he should do the test, measure my anus, and see where it's dilated, according to the Huffington Post translation. Torres, who's 46, a reporter in the video, says the church has removed Torres for pastoral reasons, although Torres says the church has evidence. That says proves he's gay, including web postings of him soliciting himself to other men. The photo question you can see in the video below shows Torres shirtless with a 28-year-old Cuban seminarian student. I have a normal friendship with this boy, Torres says in the video, according to the translation. There is nothing. This was the only day I've been with him, and we took a photo of ourselves with no shirts, and that is what started all this.
Ooh, he took a shirtless photo with another man. He's gay. Please.
Jimmy, for the record, that hand movement that you were doing earlier, you know, the one that looks like a tremor?
Yeah. And
that's a Jewish thing. Fegala. That's not... wrong religion for this story.
Okay, the three of you come and look at this photo.
Yeah.
Oh, my okay.
God. I could see this picture being taken... I hate to say it. I could see it happening in Tony's or the Bear Bus picture.
Does this look like a gay couple or not?
No, because you know a real gay man would have cleaned out that, wouldn't have the monobrow. He should have cleaned that out.
That is a gay couple. Yes.
Yeah. Oh, and that's
that Cuban
sweet.
Boy is in love with that man. You can tell.
Obviously.
Yeah. Look at the look on his face.
Either that or he's tired. One of the two.
I was going to say, he looks stoned to me.
Right?
That's a family photo.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
Stone and it's definitely our family.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There's hell yeah. Involved there.
Yeah, so...
He ain't so bad for an old dude.
How old is he?
46.
46.
And how old are you?
43, yes. Hello, pot.
And the other boy is 28.
Joe My God's commentary on this said anger over being accused of being gay, a Catholic priest in Spain has offered to have his anus measured because that's totally proves something.
What?
The rumors about Father Andres Garcia Torres apparently started with the above photo with a young Cuban seminarian.
Maybe
okay.
He said
seminarian.
Here's the commentary. Where is that seminary? I want to convert. he puts the semen in seminary. Let's have photographic evidence of the pure anus.
What they should check for is stretch marks on his cheeks, on the cheeks on his face and not on his ass.
How about we measure the seminarian's ass instead? Looks like a promo shot from one of those hot boy and daddy video movies.
Right? It does. It does.
Don't throw him out for supposedly being gay. Throw him out because he's crazy enough to want to have his anus measured.
Good promo photo for Daddy Hunt, but that's all that. You know, I mean, that's the old technique of testing it, just like, you know, the old military way was, you know, shove a tongue depressor down their throat, and if they don't gag, they're gay. If you saw the movie with about Oscar Wilde, it's one of the tests they did to prove about buggery.
Yeah.
apparently, don't know it's elastic and will fall back into place. You've been listening to After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude and listening to sponsored commercial free Pacific Radio for the Gulf Coast, KPFT Houston, 91 FM, 89.5 Galveston, 89.7 in Huntsville, and always the World Wide Web at kpft.org. Coming up top of the hour is Zydeco Pasale, and followed by that is Red Eye Special. You can find out what's going on our analog stations and our digital stations over at kpft.org. We love hearing from you, our listeners. You can contact us through Facebook at facebook.com/afterhourskpft. You can send us an email at afterhours@kpft.org. Snail mail is After Hours, care of KPFT 419 Lovett Boulevard.
L-O-V-E-T-T. Love, T-T.
Houston, Texas 77006.
Not just a zip code, but a life.
And once again, we want to hear from you of upcoming events, love mail, hate mail, news stories.
Dirty pictures!
And like I said, those are the best ways to get in contact with us. We will be back next week. Like I said, it's Theater Palooza. We'll have Stage Door. We will have Theater Suburbia. We will have Gigi. We'll have Eresis. It's going to be cram-packed. Let's, again, just stick around with programming here on KPFT all Sunday long, starting off with the Zydeco Pasale at the top of the hour after the PSAs. Here we go.
KPFT is pleased to announce new programming. Now with an HD radio receiver, you can get KPFT's great music, news, and public affairs with a richer, crisper sound on HD1. On KPFT HD2, listen to Rice University Radio with the unique programming that made KTRU a gem on the dial. On KPFT HD3, you'll hear your favorites in new time slots, including Democracy Now!, Al Jazeera English, Uprising, Explorations, Alternative Radio, and more. HD Radio allows you to hear multiple programs through additional digital channels. The sound is crisper than FM, and your choices are expanded. Visit kpft.org to learn more about HD Radio broadcasting and program schedules. This is commercial-free, listener-sponsored Pacifica Radio, 90.1 FM and HD1, and now alternative programming on HD2 and 3. KPFT, Houston.
Take the square root of 625 and you get 25. 25 is a number, as in the silver anniversary of the Watermelon Dance Summer Social. The Last Concert Cafe, located at 1403 Nance Street, is proud to present this KPFT benefit on July 30th, beginning at 5 o'clock. This year's lineup includes Lisa Novak, Jimmy Lee Dean Band, Richard Cagle and the Voodoo Choir, Zentropy, McAdams, Drum, Hightailers, Pot Roast, BMC, and at midnight, a special surprise. The admission fee is $15 for one. Bring a friend, receive a discount, $25 for two. Door proceeds benefit KPFT. For more information, dial 713-226-8563. See you on Saturday, July 30th. So don't think twice, just think silver. And remember, watermelon. The other, red meat. 90.1, KPFT, Houston.
KPFT, Houston.